The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean,
is he all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. He's just an odd guy. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No. No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your Rogaine.
Rogaine. Check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine. Check.
And Andy. And Andy?
You have to park so close?
Yeah, what's wrong?
Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school.
What?
Or Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure, I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What? Do what?
Let the dogs out. You know what? Ooh, let the dogs out. Ooh, ooh.
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress, where the flame is still burning. We're keeping
and the
it hot.
Still suck.
Here on
Three
PFW
seconds
Progress,
in, first mistake.
Another special off-season edition of your
very
favorite
special
football show. So, guys, it is what's it? The day after Memorial Day. Did you guys have a good weekend?
Tremendous.
Yes.
Yeah. Weather
excellent
turned out really nice
mm-hmm
for once.
Excellent.
Oh, last Memorial Day was
the
great
official
too
start of summer.
I'm
did
about
not
recently
disappoint.
I'm not talking about a year ago. You know. Yeah. I mean, it was
outstanding.
Yeah.
Perfect weather.
Did you open your pool?
Pool's
Paul
open, Freddie.
Pool's
swimming
open
all weekend.
That's good. That's good. And Andy, how was your golf outing on Thursday?
It was good.
Were you surprised?
She told me a couple days before.
Oh.
Because my brother-in-law advised her that I wouldn't enjoy being surprised. Because her plan was to...
Because she's the most miserable human on the planet.
No, but I, you know me. I don't like change. When I get up on a Thursday morning,
change, it's
I'm
a
taking
surprise
a shower, I'm putting my clothes on, I'm going to work. And if mid-shower she had said, oh, no, you're going golfing today, I don't
he would have
that
had to mentally decompress and reassess.
You know, what I
then you would have had to unshower.
What I do with change, I just put it in a jar at the end of the night, and then I don't have to worry about it.
You're not going to take this.
I'm not even sure that was worthy of
you're
a
you're not going to take this seriously, then. We'll just drop the whole thing.
All right, Web Radio at Patriots.
Did you watch the Bruins?
What's that?
The Bruins?
I sure did.
Something's brewing in Boston.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
They're going to get swept.
You think so?
Yeah.
One of the
I don't know. I just based on SATs has Vancouver's gone 7
SATs
games, 6 games, 5 games. Based on that pattern, this is going to be a 4-game series with Vancouver winning.
Well, based on the Bruins pattern, it's a 4-game sweep for them winning.
Yeah, there's
7-4, 7-4.
Oh, good, Paul.
The best team in the NHL is Vancouver, not Boston though. That's the problem.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so, you know. I'm glad I'm not a big Bruins fan,
cuz
I'd be really pissed right now.
What at him?
No, I don't think they're going to get swept. I'm just kidding. I think they have a chance.
Vancouver's a good team.
You know what, Paul? You know why they won that game the other night?
Why?
About 2 months ago.
Because you actually stayed awake for all three
periods?
Well,
that is true, yes. I found the key to that is just doing things between periods. Shower, wash dishes.
You showered between the first two periods.
I have to, or I fall asleep. I got to.
Well,
but,
and that was a change for him, so that was very big.
What did I ask? What did I tell you that the Bruins never do that other teams always do against them a couple months ago?
Block shots.
Yes. The other night, what did they have?
Yeah,
so, you know what that tells me? They're, as Fred Kirsch would call them, pussies. Because the season's on the line. Now, all of a sudden, they're willing to
and
get in front
that
of a shot. But the rest of the year, they're just giving people free lanes to the net.
You know what? Stay awake for three periods and then come
ridiculous
on the team.
They are pussies.
And all that.
The defense was tremendous the other night. That's
why
they won.
The defense is always tremendous.
No, it isn't. Zdeno Chara is a punani. He's
yeah
a 6'9" punani.
Yeah.
He gets all skinny when the shot comes up, so it doesn't hit him.
I don't think he's very quick.
He's not quick.
Well, obviously he's not quick.
And
I want people to block shots.
You know,
every other team is not afraid to block shots. I've seen the Bruins
if
power
I got
play
you, like,
block shots.
I don't even know if I could find
sure
that.
I'm sure they have them.
No, I know they have them, but I wouldn't really know
this
where to get
them. This
is
only games I've watched.
That's what I'm saying. You don't watch.
periods of games I watched.
Well, I mean, I think we should be excited about the home team getting into the Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, it's good that we have something to be excited about this time of year.
And who'd have thunk
that at this time next year we could be saying the Bruins are the most recent champion and the Patriots are the furthest away from their last title?
That is pretty amazing.
Think of that.
Like, wow. Oh, yeah.
That would be amazing.
That was said on the radio.
Because the Red Sox in 07 and the Celtics in 08, the Bruins in 11. My goodness.
Oh, boy.
You know?
Why, the Heat would really get turned up on Bill, wouldn't it?
Oh, sure.
According to Belichick, they would have won the title in 07, but Brady had the audacity to win the MVP. Because when he talked to that school the other day,
Suffield Academy. He wasn't exactly accurate.
No, but his point was teams with MVPs don't win titles because it's all about team. It's not about I. Well, maybe you should have had Brady not win the MVP in 07, and we could have celebrated a perfect season.
Was our problem last year, too, then?
Yeah.
He just thought it was an interesting fact that...
Wasn't
right. Fun fact.
Somebody lost a job over that, Bears or Stacy. Somebody told him in the last decade.
Since 04, it's true. But
right,
not,
but it's not a decade.
It was funny, though, how he said, there's no I in team, but there isn't win.
Yes.
He went on to explain what he meant.
There was an individual accomplishment.
I know, but it was funny when you first read it, and you say, there's no I in team, but there is a win.
I just think there's a divide between the quarterback and the coach. He's taking shots at him for winning the MVP, or they would have won the title.
Okay. Anyway, yes.
I didn't take it that way at all, Fred.
You didn't even know what we were talking about when you started.
I still don't.
He actually addressed Suffield Academy's graduates at their commencement. And
his son was one.
So that's nice. Otherwise, did anyone see Julian Edelman on NFL Network?
Saw some photos and quotes.
I mean, we talk about Brady's hair. Yeah. Holy mackerel. I mean, this guy, not only does he have long hair, and Brady's hair is kind of straggly. You know, it always seems like you just get out of working out or something.
Yeah.
But
we know that's not true.
He's so cute.
But Edelman, I mean, it looks like he just got fluffed up from Vidal Sassoon. I mean,
Edelman's hair was pretty ridiculous last year during the season. I can imagine if he hasn't cut it, how much worse it looks now.
It's shoulder length, and I mean, it's got a lot of body. I have to say,
he was on TV. He may have had it even more done up.
I guess, but you know,
product.
I mean, he's really spending some time with his coif.
Yeah, he was quick to shave the beard after they lost the playoff game because he had been, you know, growing it because of the win streak, but he didn't cut the hair, and I thought, well, by now he's probably got the hair cut. And then I saw the picture of him on NFL Network, and
the beard's back.
Yikes! And the beard is starting to come back, not like it was.
No, he clearly has a lot of hair follicles or whatever. I mean, he grew the beard thick.
He's got thick hair.
He's hairy. Not like Paul and Eric.
You know, you know,
I got the beard. I just don't have just the
grow
top.
It while you got it. I guess right.
Sure.
You know.
I mean, I think it looks ridiculous, but and I can't see how it's comfortable on a football helmet.
All that matters is what do the chicks think?
Well, he's probably doing all right.
Oh yeah,
chicks like.
I have a theory.
He's not paying attention.
I have a theory too.
Oh yeah,
about Buchholz.
About all chicks.
Buchholz.
Yeah, I think he's turning into a little bit of a diva.
Well, he's been one all along. That's been the criticism.
He kind of looks like Brady now.
Well,
sometimes.
I love
when he's dating penthouse models and all this.
This is what I love about him.
I think this is the thing.
No, supposedly he came out of it, and that's why he's been better.
He got married, but he picks the time when he's pitching perhaps the best he's ever done, like over the last like 6-8 starts,
right?
To criticize the guy. 2 years ago, when he couldn't get out of his own way, these were the criticisms of him. Fred, nowhere to be found.
Openly, Kurt Schilling talked about it a lot.
Well, I'm telling you, he's going back to his diva ways.
No, he's not.
And I think he's pitching better than he ever has.
And I think that's going to affect him. I'm afraid.
Oh, you're afraid.
I'm afraid you're an idiot.
So,
but be happy to know that your boy, you know, in the continuing media campaign to have Jacoby Ellsbury succeed is now in May trumpeting his all-star credentials today in the paper.
What's
in
that?
May. 6 weeks before the game.
Well, you got to start early. You want to get some votes.
Well, to be fair, Paul, tomorrow is June. So,
just stunning to me. That,
why do you hate him, Paul? Why do you hate him?
I don't understand why everybody loves him.
I don't.
Because he's a good player.
He's a good player, exactly. With you. Bang. Yeah. Fred, you and I lockstep. Good, solid player.
And, you know, it's interesting because I was watching the game yesterday, and, you know, he really charged to on a single to hold the guy at second, and the announcer said, you know.
Put on a good charge.
That was a good. And I was thinking, you know, it takes someone who really understands the game of baseball to appreciate Edelman because it's all the little things that he does right that makes him.
I do. I recognize all the little things Edelman does well too.
You confuse your little white guys you root for.
You know, hey. You know,
guys don't generally go first or third on choppers up the middle over the second base bag. Unlucky for you, I actually saw the play.
I think I saw it too, right?
Yeah.
Sutton dove and was on his knees.
There's maybe two guys in baseball that would have attempted to go from first to third.
Plus, I think he had to charge it because it would have stopped rolling before it got to him. Had he not charged it, it would be sitting in short center field right now.
Right, and someone without his speed, the guy would have gone to third.
You're an idiot.
Hey, Kevin, did you get that link I sent you earlier?
Kevin? He has that dumb look on his face.
Hello?
Why are you looking at me?
I just said, did you get the link I sent you earlier?
I did. I got
it. Okay, is that cool?
He yeah, said, Kevin, did you get that link? And he goes, why are you looking at me?
No, I was listening to something up there.
Oh. Where's our food?
Certainly not the show.
Well, we have a lot of pressure.
I was in a meeting with no
You going
sauce,
any of the
so
games?
You seem a little distracted,
late
Kevin.
Ordering.
Late ordering.
What's going on?
You lactating?
What's the matter?
A lot of stuff going on.
What's
menstruating?
We'll talk about it later.
Talk about off-air?
Yes,
this is not for on-air consumption?
Very serious.
Fire. Really? Okay.
Oh.
Paul.
Do I win my bet?
We have a lot of.
Eric, yes, I do have your stuff.
Okay.
We have a lot of pressure on us today.
Why?
On us?
Because,
oh, yes, I
Because
read
Paul is somewhere shaking over Europe. He says, Paul, Andy, Fred, and the artist.
Paul's right here.
Oh. I'm not the only Paul in the world.
I'm the world's most nervous air traveler, and I've taken the decision to listen to the podcast to ease my nerves during my flight to Ibiza tonight. You know where Ibiza is?
In Europe.
You don't know where it is.
Yes, I do.
Where?
It's in Europe.
Where?
It's an island off the coast of Portugal?
No. Well, Spain.
Yeah.
Not flown for 8 years, so I'm looking for 2 hours of laughs, push-ups, and Eric's best stand-up material to keep me occupied.
Not us to say, what was that noise?
So we,
what was that noise?
We need to do shaking? Our best.
Did we just get hit by lightning?
We did have that happen once.
Yes, we've been hit by lightning. You can survive that.
We need to do our best for Paul to keep him occupied while he's flying over Europe.
Yeah, the subject line.
What's that guy doing over there?
Said something like, please make it a funny show today or something like
right.
that. And I clicked on it. I was like, hey. But no, I saw it.
Unlike normal.
Right.
Unlike normal, yeah.
John in South Carolina says, so Andy's gone for a show, then comes back, and in the first 5 minutes, craps on the Bruins going to the Cup. Brady and Bill Belichick, what's next? You going to knock Red R back off the bench?
No, but I do have a
Sometimes
statement
Sometimes it's
to
okay to like New England teams.
I love
Quick,
the Bruins.
Someone talk about the Steelers so Andy can be happy again.
I love the Bruins. I've watched at least a portion.
I think John couldn't hit the nail more on the head.
I've watched at least a
it's
portion
unbelievable.
Of every single
right
playoff game they
the
played
head.
This year. My sentence
and rooting
was longer.
Against every one of them.
No, that's not true.
Yeah, listen. You're,
unlike you, I root for New England teams. You root for one New England
Which
team.
Which one?
One New England team. Yeah. I root for three.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it.
You missed that.
I know. I heard them.
I do have a bombastic bomb to drop.
Why don't you like the refs?
I think the Indy 500
Have you
was
tried
fixed.
The refs?
I think the Indy 500 was fixed this weekend.
You think the guy
pretty
crashed
big, isn't
on
it,
purpose?
Fred? Yes. Okay. I think it was all formulated having Danica Patrick lead the race for a significant portion, then have a former winner who is looking for a full ride, win it by passing a rookie. I think it was all staged.
Oh,
I think he drove right into the wall, just like it was in Lightning McQueen in Cars. It was all fiction.
I meant to ask you this. You mentioned Danica Patrick. Didn't she start the year in NASCAR?
She's in both.
Yeah.
But she doesn't race every time in NASCAR, does she? In either?
No, she was like 10 NASCAR races. There's other guys.
Yeah, there's
done
other
it.
People that
hey,
she's, how do they
she's
pick
going
choose?
To NASCAR. She's going.
She's
to
going.
Tilt.
Yeah, she's making a change to NASCAR, but I think
but
she
you
always
have to do it gradually.
I think she always does the Indy 500, doesn't she?
And she may continue. I mean, other guys.
She's
have,
had a lot of success.
Other
in
guys
Indy
have done both races in the same day.
Oh, really?
Years. Yeah. Which I don't know how you do that. It's 1,100 miles. Pretty goddamn ridiculous.
Wow.
But I think it was fixed. They have a new president. They're struggling financially. He's supposed to be this marketing guy. This, you know, he's going to bring excitement. I think the whole race was fixed.
Well, you know, I wouldn't.
I'm not
these days,
it.
I wouldn't be shocked.
And you know,
crashing,
my track record.
The crashing into
things.
The wall is dangerous
yeah,
to fix, though,
yeah.
though, isn't it?
No.
Because, well, you could
he
die.
He just glanced it. No, it was a glancing blow.
Oh, it was?
Although I thought Dale Earnhardt's looked like a glancing
what
blow.
What do you mean the glancing blow? The wheel spun off. He,
but he hit. He didn't,
fire.
He didn't go right into it. He just boomed.
Well, yeah.
Either that or he's a terrible driver. I don't know how he crashed there. It literally, Paul, was like Lightning McQueen. He's a rookie going to win the Indy 500 on his last lap. He passes a guy and just,
yeah.
And they're going, go, go, keep your foot on the gas, keep your foot on the gas. Because, you know, two wheels were still turning. And if it had gone yellow, if it, like, caution, he wins.
Right.
But Weldon, past him, literally, like, pass yellow.
It was under review. And
it was tremendously interesting, entertaining, a story, which is why I think it was fake.
Speaking of fixes and corruption...
FIFA?
A couple of the FIFA guys have been indicted or whatever you call it.
Accused. Anyway.
And it's about time.
Big difference between those two words, right.
For all of our soccer fan listeners out there, I mean, I think they would agree that the fact that Qatar got the World Cup was ridiculous. We knew that the fix was in there, and it's been going on for years in that organization. It's just ridiculous.
Not just that organization.
No, but...
All organizations.
FIFA has always been, you know... So high and mighty and all this stuff. They don't listen to any of this stuff, but you knew that they were always had their hands dirty. So.
Well, they're all cheating in every sport. Did you see, what's his name? The guy, one of those one-name guys from like South America or something, admitted that they were all hyped up on some sort of stimulants before one of the World Cups.
Oh, Maradona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That they were put, like, the trainers were putting it in their coffee. Mm-hmm. They were all, the whole team was hyped up on.
He actually picks a guy from South America who actually does have two names. It's Diego Maradona.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought that was Dora's brother. Cousin, or whoever he is.
That's Dr. Joy's brothers.
No, Dora's the Explorer has a Diego.
Web radio at patriots.com.
Comically, Fred is failing miserably for Paul. Paul is going to be freaking out because Fred is not funny.
Paul's going to look like no socks on the plane with white knuckles.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Join us if you want. Eric was nice enough to tweet out a link to Brandon Merriweather's rap song.
Have you heard it?
It's not bad.
You have heard it. I didn't think you'd heard it yet.
I mean, it's not ridiculously good, but it's not terribly bad either.
Be honest. You went in, though, with low expectations.
Yes.
And that's why it's not bad.
Yeah, no, but I mean, it had a rhythm in it.
Because I'm thinking he's going to speak like he speaks, and he doesn't.
Yeah, I think Tully's was better, though.
You think whose?
Tully Bandicane's.
I don't think I've ever heard his.
I like Tully's.
I think Merriweather's was better than TBC's.
I've never heard Tully.
I like Patrick Chung's mom's.
But here we go. You want a little taste of
Let's hear it.
But she was a real singer.
This is Brandon Merriweather's brand new single. He is the first one rapping, not the first one singing.
I thought we were going to cut this off.
The song goes like this.
I don't like this part.
That's not him yet.
Right.
Some cursing going on right there?
Oh, yeah.
So much.
So that's a little taste of it. I mean, it's not great,
I like
but
that
it's
line.
Not bad. It's,
that time we went to Vegas. Oh, yeah, you did that.
What was that?
Go to Vegas.
I kind of like the music. I didn't really understand
the words.
The words
are crazy, you know. But
well, he's rapping. There's somebody else singing or chiming in, and it's very distracting.
That wasn't on the radio.
Busy.
When I heard on the radio, I don't know if they had it.
They mixed it better?
Like, I didn't hear her voice, that weird voice in the background.
Well, really?
I think it's somebody, it sounds like somebody's praying almost in the background.
Well, right, but it was lower on the radio.
The mix levels are
my soul to keep and all that stuff. He didn't throw up on himself. It wasn't terrible.
Oh, absolutely not.
He's a better singer than safety.
That's the first time.
well, I was waiting for the first person to say that.
That's the first time.
Well, it's the first time you might have a hit.
Oh!
Well, a legal one, anyway.
He actually sings better than he answers questions.
I didn't really understand a lot of what he was saying.
But I thought it was clear.
I kind of liked the music.
Yeah.
Well, he said he missed the guy so much.
It's just about his friend that he
lost. I don't think I understood a
it's
single
like
word that he said.
R.I.P. Tory, I think the name of the song.
But
wasn't there some confusion though? Because wasn't the song called Rory?
Well, somebody who sent the email said it's called Rory. Like there was like a typo in an email. They got the name wrong. Oh. I don't know. But I think it's Tory.
So that's Brandon Merriweather, and he's keeping busy in the offseason.
The potty stopper.
And on Patriots.com, the Ask PFW from Friday, do you agree with the
That's
new
Debate
Steelers
Friday.
Debate
rule?
Friday, yeah.
Try
debate.
Not to mix the brands.
Ask PFW's today.
The brands.
In
I like
Big
it.
Bang Club.
people disagree. I kind of agree with the Steeler rule.
So do I. That's
as long
point
we
I
talked about yeah. it, as long as we set, you know, the expectation.
Set a threshold.
Set a threshold. Yeah. But most people don't. I think about 60-some-odd percent.
It's 2-1 2-1 against.
Yeah.
That's just because I made a better argument.
That's kind of what I think. I haven't read it yet, but Eric usually loses, even when he has the winning side.
No, I've been kicking Paul's ass the last couple of weeks.
Wow. I don't think this is not something I feel ridiculously strong about.
You don't feel strong about anything.
Well, that's just Paul.
Another thing we were talking about. Brian in Brighton writes up. He says, "I wanted to follow up on my previous Android app problems. I'm not on Verizon. I'm on T-Mobile. I'm also connected on my wireless connection, so there are no issues with it being on 3G or 4G. There seems to be an issue streaming the live feed because I just tested it out on one of the Patriots Today videos on the app, and that worked fine." That's not a live feed. That's the problem, Brian. Live feed is live. Those are all. Those are all.
Except when it's ESPN radio, those are all live replay.
Those are all on-demand feeds, and there's not a problem with that. You have to, you know, this show right now. If you clicked on us the top, that would be live. A Bill Belichick press conference would be live.
So you're saying that when it's a live feed,
it's live.
Anything you click on Patriots Today would be on demand. So that we know there's no problem there. But as a matter of fact, the reason I read this email is because someone from Verizon who I connected with actually replicated the problem and is working with Chris right now to fix it. So we'll see what happens. But it is a Verizon problem. We've got a lot of emails coming in. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. And Eldridge in North Carolina is on the line. Hey, Eldridge. Eldridge. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Hi.
How are you?
What happened?
Eldridge, we're here.
Hello.
Okay. Yeah, I'm listening to you live on my computer. I guess it's kind
of... Turn down your computer!
Turn down your PC.
Oh, I did.
That's live, you know.
Yes, how you fellas doing?
Good,
great.
You're doing okay?
Got a couple of questions. Keep looking at the NFL network.
Yep.
And I see the Jets still try to get in that crawl by trying to get Randy. Mm-hmm. What do y'all think about that? And Brandon Merriweather, should stick to being safety. That wraps up, gotta go.
Okay.
Oh. All right. Fans have spoken.
In the Big Bang Clock.
We talked a little bit in the last show, I think, about Moss and the Jets, and I think at least Fred and I aren't concerned about it. I forgot what your stance was. Like, if he goes to the Jets, no big thing.
I have no problem with him going to the Jets.
If he goes to the Jets, okay.
I'm not afraid of his going to the Jets.
I'm still a little afraid, but it's interesting.
Especially if it's in lieu of bringing back Santonio Holmes or Braylon Edwards.
Right.
Then they're a weaker team than they were.
But I think Rex Ryan, in an interview over the weekend, kind of escalated this whole thing with Moss and tweaking the Patriots and saying, you know, once they got rid of Moss, they got rid of their threat, and we recognized that, and we wanted to show them
That was from the book.
Yeah, but that was from the book. That's not something he just said this weekend.
Well, I think, wasn't he talking about it too?
No, it was in an interview about the book.
That's directly quoted out of the book.
But what he was saying is that in the playoff, you know, we wanted to show him that, you know, they didn't have that over the top threat anymore.
But everybody knew that.
But very few could do anything about it.
Right. But everybody knew that. That's where I would argue. Their defense had the tools to do what they needed to do. But we all knew that Brandon Tate was not anywhere near Randy Moss. He couldn't take the top off the defense.
But I think people like Eldridge, I mean, you read that or hear about it, and does that make you want Moss back more?
I didn't want him leaving in the first place, to be honest with you, because we still don't have no deep threat. No deep threat whatsoever. And if our defense could barely hold Antonio Holmes down. Now, Moss might get of age, but like everybody says, he still can run.
Well, let me ask you this, though, Eldridge.
If you can't carry home, you can't come with Moss, too.
But
the defense that's already threatening our defense.
But let me ask you this, though. When Moss left, the offense did show improvement. They actually got better, did they not? I mean, the one time that they stumbled, unfortunately, was in the playoffs against the Jets, but I don't think that had anything to do with not having a deep threat.
One and done. Remember, all last year, I guess, it would be that one game we need that deep threat.
Well, that's the thing. I think both of you guys are right. I mean, obviously, Aldridge, you need the deep threat. But I think Eric's right, and what he's insinuating is that the Jets are one of the few teams in the league that could take advantage of that. You know, most teams didn't matter. You know, the Patriots are going to beat them anyway. But the Jets had the personnel that could match up and take advantage of that hole in the Patriots' offense.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think that Randy Moss is the deep threat anymore. I mean, yeah. I'm not denying that they need a deep threat. I'm denying that he's that guy anymore. Yeah, he'll get one or two of them for you during the course of a season.
But you're looking for more than that.
I don't think he's going to be able to give that to you on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
Well, it would if they gave him the ball, like they quit doing that last year, you know, before they got rid of him.
Well, what was his excuse of the other places he went then? I mean, he did nothing last year. It wasn't just the Patriots. It was Tennessee. It was Minnesota. I just think he's done.
Yeah, I got to agree with Paul Eldridge. I like Moss, too, as a player.
I loved him.
I just think we got to go on. We got to move on. You know, I think we need a deep threat. I'm not disagreeing with that, but I think we can do better, believe it or not, at right now than Randy Moss.
Yeah, but I wish we had traded up in the draft and got A.J. Green or Julio Jones.
Well, that would be a good answer.
They did that.
Yeah,
yep. They did that, but they did.
Yep.
And we missed that pass rush yet either.
I know.
So, y'all seen that schedule for next year? That's a brutal schedule.
Could be.
That's a brutal schedule.
I mean, you know,
not as hard as it was last year.
Yeah.
On paper,
I think it's a little bit harder than it was
on
last
paper.
Year.
Anyway. You know, we'll have to see, as Fred likes to say, we'll have to see how it unfolds before analyze it.
Right. We don't know how good or bad these teams are going to be. We really don't.
On paper, they played tougher teams last
year. We don't know how many of these games
we're
actually going to play either. So,
and the not knowing how good or bad the teams are going to be is going to be even more so this year.
Keep on trucking.
Oh, yeah.
The quick turnover of free agency and training camp and a short training camp.
And I actually think teams might actually explore free agency even less than normal because of
they won't have time to dedicate to it.
You know, how do you?
And I think free agents might look at free agent differently and just say, "I'll do a
one year deal somewhere, or I'll stay with my team for 1 year." So I'll
that's what I mean.
Deal. Yeah,
because if I go somewhere else, you know, it might not work. Yeah. Money might not be there. Right. The situation.
I mean, that's one of the biggest problems with free agency is guys not finding that system that fits them.
Right.
Well, that's magnified tenfold, and when you're signing a contract in August potentially and trying to fit in with a new team, that's I think it's like Andy says, the truly elite will probably be able to find regular free agent contracts that you're used to.
I wonder what that does for a guy like Matt Light then.
I think it's going to be up to what Matt Light wants to do.
I still think he'll find more money elsewhere to play left tackle than coming back here on a cheap short contract, or some people talking about moving him into guard, any of that. I think somebody will say he's a Pro Bowl left tackle. Here's a couple of years.
What do you think he'll get per year at another team, Matt Light?
$5 million.
Really? You think a little
bit of a bump from what he's getting now?
Four or five, yeah.
That would be good. If he could do that, I think he should.
I think he could get a 3-year, $15 to $20 million contract on paper with some bonus money and that kind of stuff.
The other thing that I think offensive linemen, this might pertain to a little bit less, because I don't think there is that necessarily a huge adjustment period for offensive linemen going from one place to another. I think you figure out if they're a zone blocking team or a drive, whatever, the different ins and outs that suit your game. I think that's a little bit easier to identify. It's all terminology then for an offensive lineman. For a receiver or a stuff like that, who knows?
Yep. So Andy's over there passing gas.
I couldn't hear it.
And he mouths to me, "You could hear that?"
Yeah,
yeah. Well, I could hear that.
No, these headphones that I have are tremendous at blocking out the external noise.
Hey. What about the smell? Does it do anything for that?
He says they don't smell. You didn't know that?
They come with a clothespin.
This is not a smeller. I know when they're going to smell.
Hey,
it's not a
smeller. Just rude. We're in a room with no windows.
We're in a room with no windows looking to the outside world.
But the biggest window I've ever seen sitting next to him.
We're on radio, Fred. You can't just shake your head and nod.
It's just unbelievable, you know.
To voice your opinions.
Couple NFL
Glad
things, Freddie.
Other side of the window.
What's that?
We don't have.
Florio wrote something. Andy pointed out to me this morning, saying that season tickets sales are up around the league
as a whole.
As a whole.
As a whole, I agree. But this, but
it's not something you.
Fred
agree
agrees
with
facts now. Apparently.
But I think there are a few teams that are behind.
Right.
You know. teams like the Patriots and Cowboys, I'm sure, bring up that average.
But are there enough to warrant whatever it is, a third of the teams now cutting the salaries and pays?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Which is why we don't take the chance often enough to praise Robert Kraft for not taking the out here that some other teams are cheaply taking.
Right.
We don't do that enough.
We don't. We have a great owner. We don't have these rinky-dinks that are in other cities.
Well, the other thing, I guess, Adam Schefter just tweeted something out about this now. I know he had done something, I think, yesterday. The supplemental draft, still no plans. No one has applied for it, but...
That could change out of Buckeye State.
Sure. Mm-hmm. The NFL can hold a supplemental draft because that was part of the 06 CBA.
Uh-huh.
So they are allowed to do so if they choose, but right now no one has applied for it. So there could be a supplemental draft coming in July, like there always
Terrell
is.
Terrell Pryor.
There was another
it's
guy.
Be terrible.
I forget. There was a guy that was recently named academically ineligible. Who
from Ohio State?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, imagine what you have to do at Ohio State to be academic.
No, but it was one of those schools. It was one of the BCS, big BCS, maybe an Oregon kid. But I forget who it was. But someone that a lot of people were figuring would probably be interested in the supplemental draft.
But no Samoan running backs out of BYU or anything that I like.
I don't know. What's that guy's name?
I don't know. Tua? Maybe?
Tua.
That story is interesting, though, with a lot of the NFL-type ties and big-name ties. Everybody put Urban Meyer as the number
supposedly
one speculatory
he bought Herbstreet's house?
Candidate. Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
Did Herbstreet say that?
I think there's more than just smoke there.
Well, I also think the fact that they're waiting and there's another year. He gets another time off.
Oh, yeah.
So it's now
an extended period. He'll be out this year.
And then next signing period, next January, February, you announce Urban Meyer's taking over. I think it's very interesting.
Wow.
John Gruden has also been a name thrown out there. Hmm. I guess he's been spending a lot of college offenses and the Chip Kellys
and the spread
offenses.
I just think he's so fun. Like, he tried to retire. He tried to step down
for
2 years ago. It lasted a week. He stayed.
Yeah.
Now he does step down, and it lasts 3 months, ostensibly.
He was quoted in one of his books. He told his wife that she has veto power over any job in the country except three: Notre Dame, Michigan, and Ohio State. Those are his dream jobs, and he can take those whenever he wants.
How do you have three dream jobs?
God.
And he turned down Notre Dame, right?
I think he did. Yeah.
No, he did. He did. Yeah. Absolutely.
But why would you? It's your whole.
And
thing
if that
about
was a dream job, why did they turn it down?
Though? Like, you were at Florida.
Yeah,
it's hot babes,
I don't
it's
understand
warm,
why you
talent.
Would want. I don't understand
you know
why
is?
You would want one
Ego.
Of those. He's been at Ohio State before. He was an assistant.
Yeah, I know.
And if he had Notre Dame's one of his dream jobs, he had the chance to go there.
Right.
Who was the other one? Ohio State, Notre Dame,
Michigan.
What? Michigan. I understand turning down Notre Dame because I think that Notre Dame's days as a true power are over. I really do. Ohio State has the resources that.
Yeah,
they can
and
do
maybe it. He thinks the Big Ten is a place he could do well. You know.
I think the Big Ten is weak.
Yeah.
And I think
Bo Pelini's another candidate, former Patriot assistant.
Okay.
Supposedly. Whose Nebraska team is
I'd love to see
predicted
to
win
State
the Big Ten in his
so
first
I can
year.
Really root against because I hate Ohio State, so yeah. I might as well go to a school that I hate because I don't like Bo Pelini, if you haven't been able to tell.
Sam in Chicago says that Edelman calls his hair lockout locks.
Yes.
Lockout locks.
Yes.
And thanks for keeping the flame alive.
So now hopefully he's going to cut him off for love.
So hopefully, yeah, I was going to say, when that
when
the lockout
long,
ends. Oh, they're pretty long.
Oh, he's getting close.
Yeah.
You got to have 12 inches, right?
Hey, now.
webradio at patriots.com. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. James from Brisbane writes in. He says, hey, guys, first of all, happy birthday, Big Head. For the last week, you're getting older, but no more mature, so keep it up.
Thank you.
That's why we love you. Second of all, I'm trying to get into the sports writing game, and I'm doing some work for a site.
Why?
Last night I did a story on rule changes and would love to get your thoughts on what I suggested. The two rules I suggested are as follows. One, replace the franchise tag with a superstar tag, allowing teams to pay one of their best players outside of the salary cap each year to a certain amount, say $20 million per year, to help teams retain stars. Each team would only be allowed one player with this tag on their roster at any one time to prevent teams from accumulating stars. I can imagine if we were giving Brady his deal outside of the cap, we'd have more room for roster moves. That's sort of like the Larry Bird exemption rule that the NBA did.
You become a soft
cap. I mean, originally when they instituted the franchise tag, the spirit of it was was for the superstar.
Kind of it was John Elway.
Right, right.
But then teams, including the Patriots, started abusing it and using it on guys like Tabucky Jones.
And it would happen with that, too, just like the NBA abuses it, and you get these guys getting max contracts and signing trades.
But that's not a bad idea, though.
I don't care for it.
Because that way, at least you could give the guy more money. You could pay the guy a contract. Now, it's not limited to a one-year tender, right?
I don't know.
So, in other words, you could get, if you choose, you could get Mankins to sign the deal that he wants, and you're not hamstrung by the cap.
Right.
So it's not a terrible idea.
I don't care for it.
Two.
One guy.
He didn't come up with it.
I like my caps like Eric likes his men.
You don't like them?
No, hard.
I knew everything.
I led you there. You could have finished it.
No, because
he said I
don't
like
him.
That's what he finished it
with. I finished it with.
He's gonna finish a joke about himself?
Why not? See, that's why he failed in comedy.
He couldn't
missed the punchline.
He couldn't go hard or soft. Either way, he was going to look bad.
Exactly.
The second rule change James would like
couldn't
to see
soft.
Is institute a short-term injury list for situations like Fred Taylor
Absolutely.
Last year, where we can place him on a short-term IR list for, say, 4 or 6 weeks and sign a replacement free agent to temporarily fill the void.
I agree.
And could happen.
And there's
rumblings of that.
That's being talked about.
And then he gives a link to his place where he's writing. It's at the sportsheadquarters.blogspot.com, and that's where he is. So check out James from Brisbane, fledgling sports journalist.
There has been rumblings of tweaking injury rules and doing some of that. And I actually saw a thing the other day talking about baseballs, how many changes baseball has gone over
in
like the last, you know, not to sound like Bill Belichick, 100 years since they instituted some sort of injuries, and it went up, it went down, it went back up, it was long, it was short, there were multiple ones, and now you have the 15 and the 60.
Right.
But
they even have a bereavement list, too, for I think 3 days.
So I think it's interesting how they tweak those, because what happens is Bill Belichick's of the world cheat. They use them to their advantage beyond what they were intended for. You know, they're intended for actual injuries, and then
they find loopholes.
Right.
Right. That's not cheating.
Well, whatever.
They're gaming the system.
Taking advantage.
Cheating to be a bad word. I don't mean it to be a bad word.
They're taking advantage of, you know, the geniuses in the
he's
NFL.
Savvy.
You
know? The savvy coaches, whatever you want to call them. And then the owners and the competition committees and whoever do it have to react and rein it in and tweak it and... So I think we're at that point in the NFL where there's going to be some changes at some point, maybe when we get past all this other crap, where you'll have a change in not just flat-out IR gone for the season.
Mike in Pensacola says, hey, Jake, Andy, Paul, and Chaz, I have a game for you.
Chaz.
It's similar to the one that you played last week with the cut, keep, and start.
I missed it.
I give you two players to choose from, and you have to keep one and cut the other. The position shouldn't factor into the decision, just who is the better player. So keep or cut.
Okay, so that's rules. That's a rule.
Right.
So better player.
Better player.
Better player.
All right.
James Sanders or Ben Jarvis Green Ellis?
James Sanders.
James Sanders.
Green Ellis.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. That's ridiculous.
Jimmy Sanders.
The position has nothing to do with it.
Exactly. James Sanders is better. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis played because they had nobody else.
To be honest with you, if I was going by position, I would have said Benny because I think safety's deeper.
Brandon Spikes or Brandon Tate?
Spikes.
Spikes.
I agree. Lee Bodden or Deion Branch?
Lee Bodden.
Keep Bodden.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. Bodden, yeah.
Andy's not so sure.
I think that's a tough one. I think they're very similar second-tier players. Position doesn't matter. So this is just who I think is a better asset for your football team.
Yeah, I guess so.
Skill-wise.
Yeah. Better player.
It's a tough call. But.
I'll go Bodden. That's tough.
Shane Vereen or Danny Woodhead?
Vereen.
Shane Vereen.
Yeah. McCourty.
What was it?
No, I think that's an easy one.
Well, wow, that's a little disrespectful.
One guy was
very
productive
part of your team last
for your team.
I'd keep Woodhead.
Yeah,
oh,
I'm with
said,
you.
I need you to voice something. You can't just move your shoulder and make
Vereen.
A noise.
I'm
going
with Woodhead.
But I didn't see. I didn't hear you saying.
I'm going.
And
with
all
Woodhead
you did
because,
was go yeah and roll your shoulder.
Yeah, Andy and I said Vereen. We'd keep Vereen.
Okay.
I'll,
so the
you
unproven.
You don't think he's more talented?
I have no
he
idea.
He might be, but I haven't seen him in person.
Did I miss the rules? We were asked to assess the talent.
Right.
I have no idea. Right. That's why I'm saying. Right. I know what Woodhead can do. I don't know what Brewer can do.
I'm with you on
I'm
that.
Not, I wasn't asked to assess that. I was asked to assess talent.
How can you do that? He hasn't played in the NFL yet.
Based on his ability that I saw in college, he's more talented. That's
but
all.
Doesn't always translate to the NFL.
And we'll find
exactly.
out.
You know?
And but Danny then, Woodhead might not be as good next year. Doesn't always translate to the second
time
through.
At least I
know
I have something to go on. You know,
maybe.
In the NFL.
But that's not what I was asked to do. I wasn't asked to project anything. I was asked to assess talents. I thought that was the rule.
I know. You've seen so much Ben Vereen tape.
His name is Shane. His name is Shane.
And that's his cousin.
Distant cousin.
Devin McCourty or Vince Wilfork?
McCourty.
Devin McCourty.
McCourty.
That's a very good one.
That is a very good one. I think that's similar to Bod and Branch at a higher level.
Yeah. Come on now.
That's a tough one. That is a tough one.
Pure talent.
Shouldn't be for you.
I think the position of cornerback is tougher to play than nose
tackle.
Wait,
we're not supposed to consider position.
Consider position.
I'm just explaining my answer.
Yeah, but you
didn't violated
the rules.
Rule number one.
So your answer is null and void because you broke the rules. You cheated. You weren't savvy.
Respect the game. Respect the game.
All right, I think Devin McCourty's a better athlete than Vince Wilfork.
Okay.
I'll go Vince Wilfork. Pound for pound, better athlete.
Fred, have you?
That's a lot of pounds to go on.
Have you chimed in on this one yet?
I guess Wilfork.
You have to say Wilfork.
Why?
Based on your whole rant that you just had about Woodhead, you have to say Wilfork.
No, because we...
Well, Woodhead's had 1 year, and so has
Wilfork has done it for nine.
8 or 9 years?
McCourty's done it for one.
Yeah, 8 years.
I mean...
Wilfork.
Woodhead hasn't. Woodhead only had 1 year, and I based it on that.
Yeah.
1 year so here.
McCourty's had 1 year,
but you,
and I can
but
base
the other
it
guys,
that.
But if you're basing it on experience,
yeah,
you can't,
Paul,
you can't
would you not agree that there's a big difference between a year in the NFL and no years in the NFL?
No, I don't think there is a big difference.
I think it is.
My answer is projecting Devin McCourty to be great. I think he's great. I don't think Vince Wilfork is great. He's good.
Wow.
I think talent-wise, McCourty is more talented.
I think you could make an argument for that. I'm concerned that McCourty is going to come back to reality.
Well, that's the thing.
I don't think he's going to have all those interceptions, but I think he's still going to blank
the
guys down the sideline.
If I could be sure that McCourty's going to keep at the level, I think McCourty's a slam dunk.
See, right?
that's what I said. You have to pick Wilfork for that reason.
I think McCourty did a great job blanketing guys down the sideline.
I don't think that disappears.
No,
he may
I don't
not
think
have
so
seven
either.
Picks.
See, I'm not sure he's a great all-around corner, though. I think teams are going to start to scheme to make sure we're not just running routes that are down the sideline where he's stride for stride in a guy's pocket.
You know, that's what,
and if that happens, I'll be wrong.
Where I think the book is out on Wilfork and he can play.
See, I think
that's
I think
Paul's point
has the instincts that he'll be able to.
I'm not sure he's quick.
Who?
I think he's got the swivel
I think he's
hips.
A long strider. I'm not sure he's quick.
McCourty?
Yeah. I think he may get exposed to some inside routes and different
quick
moves.
And that's when
moves.
He was beaten most often last year with stuff across the
Why
field.
Why do I have to be a wet blanket around here?
I know.
That's what you are.
Because I bring facts. I'm sorry. Because in one sentence you say a guy hasn't proven himself.
I don't,
and in the next sentence you take the unproven guy as opposed to
the
all of a sudden.
No, he didn't. He took the proven guy both times.
Oh, he took Wilfork?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And that's why I said you have to take
Andy
Wilfork.
Says,
so you're the wet blanket,
I don't think he's quick enough has become fact now. I just deal with facts. I don't think he's quick enough. I just deal with
facts.
That
is what you said.
I don't think. I just deal with facts. You're an idiot.
Wait, can you repeat that again? I don't think. I just deal with facts. I don't
know. But can you say it in your Jewish voice?
I don't think.
Yes.
I shouldn't think. Now you're telling me I shouldn't think.
Perfect. Paul is not thinking about flying right now.
Freddy ball game.
Finally, says Mike, I have a question concerning Logan Mankin. Since Solder was drafted and Light is likely to not be resigned, would the Patriots up their offer to him with the money they would save by starting Solder and not keeping Light? I would not feel too great if Dan Connolly and Ryan Wendell were the starting guards next season.
I'm Ron Burkey.
I mean, it usually doesn't work that way, right? I mean, the fact they don't sign Light, they use that money for Mankins.
It's not a guarantee.
I mean, they
could use it to sign. You know, if Sidney Rice or some other free agent that they so choose to go after.
Or they could use it to pay. I mean, in an NFL cap, you got to look at now Mayo's making more money, and now Vince Wilfork's making more money. Tom Brady's making more money. They may have planned light to come off the books right when they signed some of those deals.
I do think there's a chance that the Patriots are going to take a run there at Mankins, but I still think it's a slim shot. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Mankins wants to become a free agent. And I think short of them saying, I will make you the highest paid right guard in football, I don't think that he will accept anything that they have to offer.
Now, and you don't think they'll do
not
that?
Based, no, I don't think they will. I just think that runs counter to their philosophy. And I'm not saying that with any opinion whether they're right or wrong. I don't think that that's what they like to do.
Which is what they used to do. Just going through the old PFWs.
Oh, God.
Every issue had a re-signing making X the highest paid player at his position
the
in the
Wasichuk
National Football
model.
League.
Absolutely. Right?
Seems like a flawed model.
When the mid-90s?
Well, it's when you do
late
it to
90s,
a lot of guys.
97, 98.
It's when you don't identify special. That's, you know, it's
no,
the
but
two
that's
ways. They just
by
every,
doing
they
it
made,
more than once, you're,
they made everybody,
you're showing it's flawed.
Exactly.
Nobody has the best this, and this in the NFL.
So what they're telling you is all those guys they identified as special. They weren't.
They were good. They were the hall of very goods.
They were good players, but they weren't all great players. So I'm not saying they all got money and didn't deserve it, but they didn't all deserve to be the highest paid at their spots. The Patriots generally think nobody deserves to be the highest paid at their spots. Now, this current regime with Bill Belichick running the show.
Gone from one extreme to
the
other.
Which is equally, in some degree, flawed.
Flawed.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady deserves, you don't have to make him that, but he deserves, based on what he's done, to be the highest paid at his position. He's done it every way you could ask him to do it, on the field, off the field, everything. And he won't be very soon.
But
even
fortunately,
he is
it's worked out that he didn't have to be that.
Right.
You know, some of the guys, you know, it looks like Mankins is hell bent on it right now.
Which, in some ways, is the irony of the CBA lawsuit.
Right. If Brady
he didn't take his team to the mat, and yet he's willing to go to the mat for the players as a whole.
Yeah, if Brady had decided, I am not going to accept anything less than being the highest paid, both on paper, off paper, whatever way you want to calculate it, I'm not sure he would have stuck. I'm not sure that he would have ended up staying here.
Yeah, he could have said, I'm waiting for Manning to sign, and then I want you to give me $10 million more than him.
Right.
Yeah. I win. He doesn't. Well, I used to.
And you wonder why you have to be the wet plank.
Right.
14-2.
You were just saying the Bruins are going to have a title more recently than the Patriots, Fred.
Well, if they win the cup, that's what's going to happen.
You did say that. Because I said they wouldn't because they're going to get swept by Vancouver.
I said if they did, the Patriots would be the team that had, you know, won it less
Speaking
recently.
Speaking of that, we got any tickets laying around? What do you got going for us?
I don't have any.
Can you hook us up?
What's the deal with tonight?
He might go. Kevin, he goes to all the
It's tomorrow night, right?
Tomorrow night, yeah.
Okay. Well,
tonight's what, NBA?
Plus, it's in Vancouver.
Yeah, I know.
Can't do the Baltimore thing. It's cheaper to fly out there and get a ticket than it is to try to get one here.
$1,000 to fly out there.
How much?
$1,000 to go to Vancouver?
I was kidding.
Yeah.
I know going to the West Coast costs more than Baltimore.
I wouldn't.
But that much more?
I wouldn't mind doing it just because I'd like to go to Vancouver.
I would, too.
On, like, orbits and all those things.
Plus, I'd stay awake.
Let's see. Peter writes in from Surrey.
Imagine that if he fell asleep at Rogers Arena.
Speaking of Vancouver.
I'm on the big board.
we have a writer, a listener from Surrey?
Yeah.
BC?
I guess. I don't know. It doesn't say. But anyway, he says, I want to share
England.
Two pieces of information with your fantastic
show.
Surrey,
British Columbia.
Probably England.
Probably England.
We have more fans there.
The first and far less interesting and important is that of a dream from last Thursday where, for the first time ever, I was playing for the Patriots. While I was a tad surprised at being on the sideline, given that I've never touched an American football.
Were you the highest paid player at your position?
Whose dream is this? Eric, were you playing or were you on the sideline?
I was very excited to be given a chance to play no other team than the Jets. When I went onto the field, I was on defense playing linebacker.
Nice.
While waiting for the snap, which seemed to take forever, I realized that I was actually wearing my rugby kit.
Okay,
it's called a kit instead of
uniform.
Nice.
So not Vancouver then.
No protection other than the scrum hat I wear, which is about a half inch of flimsy material designed primarily to stop my ears getting messed up in the scrum. I was bricking it. What does that mean? Bricking it.
Well, in basketball, it means one thing. I don't know if it
The specifics of the play remain unclear to me, it was a pass play, and as I moved forward, a receiver ran in front of me and was targeted. Seeing this, I sprinted forward, and as he jumped to make the catch, I absolutely leveled him with a perfect rugby technique. The team swamped me, and after that, my recollection fails me somewhat, but I clearly I was delighted. I like to imagine the Jets player was crying, but who knows? Here's hoping it was a premonition, but I have a feeling it may remain a dream. Now to the more important news. Today is my 18th birthday.
Hey, happy birthday.
I can think of few better things than to listen to PFW. One of them is going to the pub and having a quiet drink or more, and I will unfortunately be otherwise engaged doing that for most of your show. I don't know if you guys usually drink with your lunch, but if you wanted an excuse, I can think of none better. While the NFL may have soured my birthday for a number of reasons, changing kit suppliers, meaning I have to wait to get my new Pats jersey, and also the lockout, meaning I can't book my trip to Foxborough, I'm looking forward to an adult life loving the Patriots, hating the Jets, and listening to PFW.
Banging bitches.
With manly love, Peter from Surrey.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Congrats, Peter. Today you will, yeah.
So he's looking forward to an adult life. I guess now
that he's officially 18.
Yeah.
Is that the drinking age?
Yeah.
Is that the drinking age over there? 18?
I'm not sure.
Must be. Where he's already, if he's going down to the pub to get a drink.
He could have an ID.
Right. It's not his first time by the sounds of it.
You know, like we all did. Well, like I did.
I did not.
You never have a fake ID?
I never had a fake ID, but I never seemed to need one.
You never get carded?
Well,
you look 40 all the time?
Find out, like,
he was short, fat, and partially bald.
Either knew the bouncer, or, yeah, you know.
I would tend to agree with you. Locally, you could get away with it. Because you could either knew somebody, or you didn't really need to have to go into a place. But, like, spring break, stuff like that.
Mm. I never went away on spring break.
With all the different places that you've
been. I didn't have the money to go away.
You were at spring break constantly. You were at the University of Tampa.
This is unbelievable. I didn't have the money to go.
And you worked at St. Thomas or wherever it was.
Right. I worked.
Yeah,
I worked.
At some posh tennis club.
Worked, yeah. Were you carrying rocks to build
a
pyramid?
Doesn't matter. I still had a work.
I put myself through school by, you know, working at a paint factory where I killed God knows how many brain cells.
I can tell you.
He works where? What tennis club?
Doesn't matter. That was after I graduated.
Oh.
Yeah. Tennis
club. And by the way, I paid for my own college.
Unbelievable.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't.
I worked part-time at an insurance company through my college years.
But back then, college was like $500 a year.
Yeah, right.
Oh.
It certainly wasn't $55,000 like it is now.
I put my parents
in the 20s.
Poorhouse.
It was in the 20s. Back then, it was a lot of money.
You went to the college in the 20s?
Yeah.
The college?
Who was in the 20s?
What do we hear about lunch there, Hi-Ho?
Still waiting for him to call.
We hear my belly rumbling. Or, I know other parts of me.
I just couldn't call way ahead like I usually do today because I was in a meeting.
Don't wave at
a very important meeting.
Yeah, it sounds like this was a really important
meeting.
Fred
saw me in the
meeting. Think I'm winning my bet, and he's not going to be our producer as of June, which is tomorrow.
No, you have like 26 more days to go.
You won't make it. Give you 2 weeks notice now.
So tomorrow will be the 26-day countdown, Andy.
Glenn in Bozeman writes in.
Hey!
When working,
home
I listen-
of?
Bozeman? One of our
Todd
players.
Bozeman?
He's got the bar.
Yeah, Bozeman.
Oh, by the way. Condolences.
What?
The Bows got blown out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, in lacrosse?
And Coach Daly said, we got our butts kicked today. No other way to talk about it.
I respect that.
Oh, really?
Who they lose? Respect that. I haven't
the
heard
Seagulls
that after a loss.
Of Salisbury or something?
Oh, they won like their ninth.
Salisbury is always good.
It was
a rematch
they beat
last year.
Same team Tufts beat
but
in the final last year.
It was a
Salisbury's
blowout.
There every
it was an absolute blowout.
It's like 19-7 or something like that.
Yeah, they got killed.
Talking Division III lacrosse.
The Bows got blowed out.
Listen,
we cover it all here. Cover it all.
Who won the
Virginia beat Maryland.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So.
Cavs over the tips.
Glenn and Bozeman says.
Was Belichick there?
I don't know.
He said he was going to be.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, because the commencement was on Friday.
Yeah.
And when was the
I'm
game?
Sure
Saturday?
Was. Sunday?
Monday.
So there were no sightings?
Yeah, yesterday.
There were no sightings of
they
VB?
Didn't show him.
An MD?
No.
Was it an MD?
Right? Baltimore.
Yeah.
I wonder if he had some crab cakes.
They didn't mention any attendance figures.
Here's where Fred becomes a company man. Didn't draw as well.
Where in Baltimore was it? At M&T Bank?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guarantee you it drew fine.
Well, it looked like a good crowd, but I didn't.
That's a hotbed of lacrosse.
I didn't hear what the figures were. Glenn writes in, when working, I listen to the shows in the car through my phone in an FM transmitter. Lately, the audio seems lower. I have to crank my stereo up so high I get a lot of feedback. Is there any chance you guys could up the volume for the MP3 downloads?
Nope.
Chris? you guys crack me up talking about spending your summers in different places. For a guy who has grown up and lived in the Northwest, it just seems crazy to me. Sure, we took vacations, but didn't have summer homes. Goes to show you how different life is on the other side of the country. Similar to Eric's lack of potential in his private schooling endeavors, very little private schooling in these parts. Thanks for all you do. You guys are awesome. Jets are gayer than Eric at a sausage. Oh, come on. That's terrible.
Why did you read it?
And what'd you leave off? A half a word?
That's the funny part.
That's terrible.
I didn't have any summer home.
But it is interesting. You know, people, I never had a summer home, but people. No, a lot
you
of
lived in a summer home.
Right. A lot of people.
You lived on the Cape.
You lived on a resort.
And you worked at a golf course.
A lot of people have summer homes here, and a lot of people send their kids to private school. That seems to be like a Northeast thing.
Like you.
Because there's a lot of money in the Northeast.
And private schools are also, I mean, most of them, they're old traditions. This is where they were.
Based on the English system of schooling.
That's right.
Where you didn't have years. What was that?
Forms.
Formers.
Right. Third form, fourth form, fifth form, sixth form.
Stupid.
It is.
Because you don't understand. It's stupid because you don't understand it.
That doesn't make sense.
you're not on the mic.
It makes sense.
I'm a first year, second year, third year, or fourth year.
That would only get you into your sophomore year. Fourth year.
Well,
fourth form.
I guess if you don't have high school, but here we have high school, which starts your freshman year.
But they count first year as
junior
high school.
Well, why don't we just start kindergarten? Call them, you know, whatever former.
Well, just because you don't understand it, Fred, doesn't mean you have to get upset about it.
We're in America. We speak American.
Jeez.
let's see. Mario from San Benito writes in, "Hey, guys, how's it going? I know how you guys feel about Peter King.
Hate him.
But I was reading his Monday Morning Quarterback, and I found this excerpt on Ryan and the Jets. In his new book, Ryan wrote about getting Roger Goodell to come to the Jets facility in New Jersey. Ryan said he told Goodell he wanted him to rip my blank in front of Santonio. Then I asked if he would turn and give both barrels to Holmes. He chewed us out, and I think it actually brought Holmes and me closer. As Bedard asked, what business is it of Goodell's to help a coach get closer to a player? Goodell told Bedard he was simply trying to help Holmes stay on the straight and narrow, and maybe that's his view of what happened, but it's certainly not how Ryan portrayed it. What do you guys think about this, and how bad does this make Ryan and Goodell look? I'm not exactly sure.
I don't think it makes him look bad at all.
The only way it would make him look bad, in my opinion, is if he would turn down other coaches for asking to do the same thing.
I mean, this is now it's personal conduct,
treatment.
But this is a personal conduct.
Absolutely.
Goodell's not doing it to make them closer on the field. He's doing it to make sure he tries to keep a guy in line, out of trouble. Yeah. And that's been one of his major focuses since he took the job.
Since day one, yeah.
I think he would do it for Brandon Merriweather and Bill Belichick. Yeah. I think he would do it for
whoever. As long as he would,
I have
no problem with it.
Right.
And I agree with Goodell's point that his concern was the personal conduct policy, mm-hmm. not – bringing him to get now that was what Ryan wanted, and I don't have any problem with Ryan's goal there either.
Right.
Their goals don't have to be the same. They can be exclusive, mutually exclusive. And to me, the only way is if, like the Bedard used the example of if Pete Carroll asked him to hop on a plane and go to Seattle and sit down and talk to Marshawn Lynch for him in an effort to get, and he said no.
Right.
Now, as opposed to taking a cab ride to the Jets facility, there's a difference there. Now, if he wouldn't do it for any other team, then he's wrong, because then that is preferential treatment.
But don't you think he would?
I do. I think he would.
Now, maybe
especially
not.
Especially if it was a personal conduct
on call
situation.
Right now. But you know what? I'm going to be on the West Coast in a week. I'll stop by. Right. We'll do this. You know,
apples to apples is the Bedard example of Marshawn Lynch.
And I think that
if it's just, hey, I got this free agent and I can't seem to connect with him, can you come out and talk to him?
Right.
Like, hell, no.
Right.
I think if you're in a position of Goodell and you have a chance to be a positive influence on somebody or affect something positively, I think you should do it. You know? I think, you know.
I agree.
Why not?
Listen, assuming there's no lockout and you know, games lost, you know, via the lockout, Goodell's tenure is more than likely going to be defined by the personal conduct policy.
Yeah.
That's going to be his lasting legacy.
So far, yes. Yep.
So,
yep.
Why not do everything you can to make sure that that's a positive mm-hmm. legacy?
Yeah. You don't want to be just the guy meeting out, you know,
fines
and
suspensions
and you want to help people,
too.
Prison without rehabilitation.
You know, and I think David Stern in the NBA, the NBA's commissioner, has a lot of things that are laughable. I think he's...
too stern?
He does a lot of things to me that I think are highly questionable. But he made a concerted effort after that brawl in Detroit with Indiana way back when.
A run our
to
test,
clean up the
running
league,
into the stands.
And to
one?
Put an end to some of that stuff. Yes.
That's big of him. He saw a brawl in the arena with fans and he decided, this doesn't look quite
this
right.
Needs to stop.
But you remember what he did, Andy? And he had the whole dress code policy and whatnot. A lot of people laughed at him and criticized him for treating them like children. Well, you know what?
No, they were acting like children,
and largely it worked. Now, is the NBA perfect? No, the NFL isn't either in terms of conduct off the field and off the court. But it's a lot better in the NBA now in regard to that stuff than it was before that brawl. So I don't think it's a bad thing if that's your goal as a commissioner, is to make your sport be looked upon in a more favorable light.
I agree. Cavern from Gainesville says, since there's no football to discuss, I'd like to wish Andy a happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
Friend, when you were talking about not being invited to Andy's party, it reminded me of an episode from The Office when Michael isn't invited to Jim's party and how sad he was. No worries, Freddie. You're the world's best boss like Michael Scott was, even if those guys disagree.
Oh, no. Hell no.
You've never heard us disagree with
that.
No,
never.
Ever.
You've disagreed with us when we've said it, but
maybe a little bit.
Finally, is Eric skipping work on Thursday to attend the rally for Mitt Romney? Eric, you should run the campaign. You might meet some ladies. And as usual, you're all the best. Thanks for keeping us entertained during these long days.
Where's this rally for Mitt Romney?
I don't know. He's traveling around now, I guess.
Right? I don't know. Is there
Has he announced he's running?
Not yet. Not formally.
Not formally, because of campaign finance
rules. I guess it's coming next week.
Yeah.
So...
He has more money than all of them, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
personal
not just
money?
Not just him, though. Like, hasn't he raised some ridiculous amount of money?
Yeah, from the last campaign and for the last few years, whatever. Yeah. He's got pretty deep coffers. Yeah.
So he's going to win?
No.
I think eventually he's going to get the nomination, yeah. It's going to come down to him.
He'll win.
Oh, he might get the nomination. Yeah.
I don't know if he'll beat Obama, but he'll get the nomination.
I'm taking the field.
There are a lot of clowns running on the GOP side this year, or trying to.
Thomas from Nova Scotia, I like most of the rules that the owners are trying to change in the league, but I have some questions about the new definition of a defenseless receiver and runner. As I understand it, a player is considered defenseless if he's unable to avoid a hit. Does that mean you can't hold up a guy up and have a guy hit him and force a fumble? I know Steelers like to do that. No, that's not it. It's a guy who kind of hasn't established himself to be able to kind of see what's coming.
It's the wording of it, though, is pretty complicated because
it is
because running backs.
I don't know why they do this.
Because running the definition for a running back, if the running back's forward progress has been impeded, that could be standing a guy up.
And some of that,
and if he
is
gets hit
in play,
is that in play or not?
Proposed rule change, by the way. Some of that is like that with the possibility of once a running back is clearly stopped, you can't take that big heavy shot. We have any cups, by the way?
Who are you talking to, Paul?
Kevin, the producer.
We're on a radio show here. It's not his fault you don't have cups.
No, but I see what you're saying, Paul,
No, I mean, they might say part of that writing is, that whole thing where you have a guy stopped and the whistle blows. To me, again, it all goes back to what Andy and I have been whining about for how long?
Five years.
It's unnecessary roughness. You know it when you see it. You know when the guy takes a shot at a guy that didn't have an opportunity or was a cheap, unnecessary hit. Call it.
But there is that
time.
But
they don't allow the referees any judgment.
There is that time, where a guy could be stood up, his forward progress has stopped, but the whistle hasn't blown yet and somebody just kills him. I think under this rule, you can interpret that is now a defenseless player.
I think they're just adding more layers of confusion to this.
I'm with Paul. I always have been. You don't need the term defenseless player. If you just see him and goes, you didn't need to do that.
Right.
There was no reason
unnecessary
to do that.
Roughness.
Throw the flag. Just let the guys be judges on the field. They are as close to the play, the contact, the action, the speed as anyone. Give them the leeway to say that was unnecessary.
Yeah. I think the more words you use, like you said, those coaches that are savvy will find ways to find the holes
in
them.
Then they'll appeal it. And when you hear the appeal and they use the words against you, you're going to say, well, yeah, you're right. And then it just gets too muddy. The water is way too muddy.
It's tough, though.
And it's not perfect. I mean, the unnecessary roughness rule is not perfect. Andy and I
think it's perfect.
We both want that. But there's been many times that there's been hits that Andy and I have disagreed on. What is an unnecessary hit?
Right.
To me, those blind sucker shots are unnecessary roughness. Andy doesn't think that.
I like hitting. But that's part of the game, too. We know they study the referees. We know Bill Belichick knows about every crew, and he meets with them beforehand, and he tells his players, you know, this crew calls 10 holds a game. So part of it would be knowing the crew and who's going to call what. And Brandon Merriweather needs to know. You need to be a little more careful today that this crew calls a lot of unnecessary right. roughness.
Do you remember the famous...
I don't like that he has to do that. I mean, I think whatever sport, you're looking for consistency. You know,
you don't get it in any. Well, whether Major League Baseball, strikes, each guy has his own thing. In the NBA, you have crews that call fouls, crews that are to the home team, the road team,
players,
everything.
If you ask them, they hate that too.
Well, but if we
they want consistency.
But if we do what we're suggesting and give the refs the leeway and just give them an unsportsmanlike penalty, you're going to get differences.
Well, and that's the point that I think the league would make back to us is, we need to try to make it as black and white so that because we understand.
But I'd rather there be the differences.
I know they're trying to do it, but it's not working. That's not going to work because everybody is going to look at it differently. It's still open to interpretation.
I know.
I think the interpretation most of the time will err on the correct side. I think most people who are rational, who watch the game, referees included, can tell if the play is
I mean, in order
unsportsmanlike
to, in order
or not.
In order to adopt Paul's suggestion. I think what they'd need to do is it comes down to how good is my video editor. And what I mean by that is I need him to put a compilation of every single questionable, unnecessary roughness hit I could imagine and have all my refs sit down and say, this one is, this one isn't, this one is, so that they've seen as many variations of what could be as possible and give a judgment. This one is, this one isn't.
But I think
you'd have to do that.
No, but I think if you're an adult who's grown up watching this game since you were a kid, I think you know. It's like when you play a pickup basketball or something. You know when there's a foul and when there's not.
Right.
And you know the guy who's always calling foul every time he gets near the basket.
But right here, you know, we came up with a couple, you know, scenarios where, you know, some might call it one way and another guy might call it another way.
But you're always going to have
that. That's what you have now.
Right.
But you're always going to have, Fred, we all see it. We see a hit and, you know, the helmets and the angle, and you see the helmet coming from the defender, and then the head snaps, and you go, oh, that's helmet to helmet. And then the third replay, oh, he didn't actually make contact helmet to helmet. There's always going to be that. So you're always going to have a mistake. The referee had a certain angle, a certain view, but I just think the wording is where they get in trouble. And you know you're going to hear Ed Hockley say, he's going to quote it when he comes on the mic, you know, due to the fact that the receiver was defenseless, and he'll quote, I don't want that. Yeah. It was unnecessary or it's necessary. It's part of the game or it shouldn't be part of the game.
I think they need to do what I suggested a long time ago is you got to have your arms out in front. I know that's not going to eliminate it, but at least the guy's trying to make a tackle if he does that.
But you can do all that stuff now. If the guy is deemed defenseless, it's going to be a penalty.
I know, but
you can have perfect form. If he's deemed defenseless, it's going to be a penalty.
I understand that, but now. But, you know, I just think that these guys that turn their body into a missile with no intention of wrapping up, I think let's just eliminate that and maybe 30-40% of these things would go away. It's not going to make it perfect, but you would eliminate some of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
You know, it's like one of the hits that Andy and I really disagreed on way back when, the famous hit with Warren Sapp on Chad Clifton, that interception return where the ball was about 30 yards downfield,
yeah,
and Clifton is jogging, not even in the play. And
Sapp leveled
him. Sapp just absolutely buries him with a clean hit. Not a helmet-to-helmet hit, not a helmet to the chest or anything like that. He got in front of him so it wasn't a clip, and he just took him out. But to me, that was an unnecessary roughness.
It was definitely unnecessary.
To Andy, it wasn't. It was on Clifton because
he had on a swivel.
Yeah, I was going to use his cliche for him, but he beat me to it. And that was what it was all about. To me,
it was unnecessary.
Those are the plays that I think are unnecessary that you can take out of the game without sacrificing the physicality of the game. Conversely, when there's a ball that goes over the middle and it glances off a receiver's hands, and less than a split second later he gets taken out by a perfectly clean hit, that's not physicality I want taken out of the game. But that's physicality the league wants taken out of the game.
I agree with you, Paul. I mean, you gotta allow guys to make that hit, you know, because
as long as it's clean,
right?
As long as it's a clean hit,
right?
The helmet to helmet stuff. Again, Andy has been on this. That's not a new thing. Helmet to helmet has always been illegal. You know, we're not talking about taking that hit out of the game. That's always been out of the game. It should have been. But, you know, there's been plenty of good shoulder hits on receivers over the middle on incomplete passes that draw flags because the guy's defenseless.
Right.
Well, he shouldn't be.
You know, and I guess it's that clock inside the referee's head where, you know, he was already in the act of hitting him and would not be able to hold up. And in his judgment, the ones that they call, he could have held up. And that's a tough judgment right there. That's tough, you know. So,
but I'd rather give
why
them,
they make a lot.
I'd
of money.
Rather they give them the opportunity to.
Those are
to make
all
that call.
Going to be penalties next year. You watch.
Yeah,
it's going to be the rarity when a hit happens on an incomplete pass.
Yeah, and it's not.
And it's deemed nothing.
Well, I hope they don't.
And I'm talking hits. I'm not talking about a tackle or a bump. I'm talking if a guy comes out, safety comes up and hits a guy, it's going to be deemed a penalty more often than not.
All right. Let's see. We got a lot of emails still coming in. It's 1:12 here. So we're going to keep the flame going until 2 o'clock. But we'll be right back after these messages.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast, and it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
1, 2, 3 o'clock. Big bang clock.
5, 6, 7 o'clock.
Big bang clock.
9, 10, 11 o'clock.
Big bang clock. Big bang clock. Paddling. Run and see the paddling. Big bang clock. Act like little kids. A haunted house. Big bang clock. Little kids. Big bang clock. See the paddling. Act like little females. A haunted house. My favorite part besides the winning would be going to see the big bang clock.
Right. That wasn't Brandy Merriweather's new rap song, but no. It was a pretty good one.
Not bad.
Yeah. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline if you want to join in. Jordan in London writes in, hey, guys, and Chaz.
Palmentieri, tough guy, Italian actor, known for mafia roles?
No, Eric Scalabrino.
I started listening to the show in training camp this year and haven't missed a show since. However, I think Andy needs a catchphrase. Chaz has "screw you, bitch." And Paul's is
no. Eric does.
Paul's is "I only drink to get drunk," and Fred's catchphrase is "anything backing the Patriots." So, can you think of a trademark line for Andy? I think we got it today. I think I deal in facts. I think that's his new catchphrase.
No, but it's "I think I deal in facts." Right. I think I deal in facts.
I also have a rookie over under game for you guys. Over under Solder 5 sacks allowed in 2011.
Under.
Over.
Under.
Under. Dowling, 2 interceptions.
Under.
Under.
Push.
Oh. Vereen, 500 yards.
Total or just rushing?
Well, I assume he
under.
Means rushing.
Under.
Under. Under. Under.
Ridley, 4 touchdowns.
Over.
Over.
Push.
The goal line guy, you think?
I'll go over.
I think he's going to be part of the offense.
Yeah. Well, it's not that many. I mean, Green Ellis had 13, 14.
Mallett, 1 snap.
Over, because he'll have to kneel down a couple of times.
Well, but he's not the backup necessarily.
Yeah, but he'll get in there.
I'm going to say under.
Markell Carter.
I'm going to go over. Wait for my answer.
Markell Carter, 16 sacks.
Over.
Yeah. Okay. Good little.
I think there's a chance they could put Mallett in there at the end of a game.
That would triple his production at Central Arkansas for his career, basically.
What?
You think there's a chance they'll put Mallett in at the end of a game just to get him the experience of having get out there? And
yeah. Mm-hmm. I think you'll see him somehow, some way, some.
But does that say anything to Hoyer?
I don't know.
Or would this be a game that Hoyer maybe sees some time and then Mallett gets in because they're ahead that much?
There is a lot of speculation going
on. A lot. I'm just wondering what your thought process is.
I just think it's a long season. And Brady being the 10th most injury-prone quarterback in the National Football League, according to Fox, you see what that's a segue, Paul. FoxSports.com. You know, he's due to miss some time. Hoyer's the backup. You're getting closer. Did you see that, Fred?
So now they're going to blow out
a team.
He wasn't at all. No.
Now they're going to blow out a team when Brian Hoyer started the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
FoxSports.com put together a list of the 10 most injury-prone players in the National Football League. And
yeah.
Tom Brady came in at number 10. Stupid. Stupid.
Well, is it just simply based on injuries? Or what are they? I mean, number of injuries?
Do you deal in facts?
You know, so what is it based on?
Injuries, I assume.
So then, if it's the number of injuries, he might be 10th on the list.
Not even close.
No, he isn't.
Not even close.
Think of people who miss time a lot due to injuries. Chad Pennington has had 17 career-ending injuries in the time that Brady has had.
Was he on the list?
No.
Because maybe he was just starters.
He's started most of his career.
No.
Why are you defending a stupid list? Why are you defending a stupid
list? I want to know the criteria.
Stupid. Ronnie Brown is far more injured. I'll just stick with Dolphins.
Regardless of what the criteria is, that's silly.
How about Deion Branch? He never plays 16 games.
I thought you said it was quarterbacks.
No, players.
Players.
Oh, okay.
I thought you said you were listening.
No, I wasn't.
No, you never said that.
He never said he was listening. I'm going to defend Fred on this one. He said he wasn't listening.
It's ridiculous.
No, I thought it was just quarterbacks.
Brady has been hurt a lot, but he's not injured very often. Twice. He got taken out so Drew could come in and have his curtain call in Pittsburgh, and he missed 08. That's it. Nothing else. All these other injuries where he has surgeries on the foot and the this and the that and the that,
and
he doesn't miss them. That's not an injury. An injury is when you miss time, not when you're hurt.
Is that what they did too? Is that how they?
I don't know. I didn't. They said because he's on the injury report.
But my point is,
come on, that's not
what's
fair.
What's that I mean, if it's word that Felger uses for cocta? It didn't even make sense, the little paragraph they wrote.
If it's on the injury report, yeah, of course he
no,
is.
No, but Fred, no matter what criteria you use, it's ridiculous. Are you trying to tell me that guys that miss games more often than he does aren't hurt more often than he is?
Right.
And play through pain
more
often?
Yeah, I agree. I want to know what they based it on.
And, Fred, if they're going by the injury report, Brady should be number one on that injury list.
Because
he's been on it since 2001 or whatever.
That's my point.
So they're stupid.
Either way, it's a stupid
list. Some woman named Sri Lanka or something.
Sri Lanka?
It was close to that.
Speaking of Hoyer, I was up at like this random outlet mall yesterday in New Hampshire. And they had, like, huge advertisements all over the place, and they were blasting it over the sound system that he was coming, like, in June to sign autographs. Like, it was this huge deal.
Nice.
I thought it was pretty
funny. He's a pretty big deal.
Who?
Hoyer.
Brian really?
Hoyer. Yeah. It was at, an outlet mall in New Hampshire.
Well, you know, that's a good place for him. Brady would be at a high-end mall. He's at an outlet mall.
I just thought it was funny, though, that they're, like, every 5 minutes, they're, like, blasting you.
And he should cash in now while he can.
With a taped automated message that, oh, Brian Hoyer's coming.
Was it Brian Lowe's voice?
No, it was not. I think it was a woman's voice. Memory serves.
It's not good for the woman if you, quote, think it was a woman.
Can't remember.
Hello, this is a woman.
Stop paying attention.
He's just unbelievable.
Like usual.
Cormac writes in, hello, my Kraft Army Legionnaires.
I think you use not paying attention as an excuse for stupidity.
While it may seem I've been quiet recently, really I've been listening to every show. I've been emailing in several times, but alas, Fred hasn't managed to get to my emails. To summarize on the range of topics I touched on. One, thanks to Giovanni for having me at number 5 in the PFW listener draft. Honestly, I shouldn't be as high as 5, and people like James Cuff should always be right at the top.
Yes.
Two, thanks for soldiering on during this lockout. It's darn boring stuff, but you guys do an excellent job.
We're soldering on.
See what you did there.
See what I did there.
Three, I hope you guys can talk a little more about the new preview show before the games. Do you have any more info on what you're planning to do? The dark days of this lockout may be a good opportunity to get discussion and fan feedback as to ideas for it.
Yes.
True.
Bring it on.
And finally, I wanted to guys to know that my wife and I had a baby girl on Saturday called Charlotte.
Congratulations.
Or Charlotte.
Which one is it?
That's
Charlotte, I guess.
Congratulations.
We are already back from the hospital, and in the early hours of Monday morning, while she couldn't sleep, we both listened to last Thursday's show, and I don't know if it was the soothing voice of Eric, but the show managed to gradually lull her back to sleep, and then he goes on to insult Eric in many different ways.
So read it. That. It's funny.
No, don't.
Oh, come on. He just had a kid.
No.
But it's congratulations, no Cormac.
Yes, congratulations.
Hopefully he doesn't grow up like you.
We don't have the full details of exactly what the show is going to be, but it's going to be a two-hour pregame show leading up to 15 minutes before the game starts. And, you know, it'll be all about our fans, you know, emailing. We'll be following the Twittersphere, what's being said about the Patriots pregame on Twitter, Facebook. But we'll be taking calls in your emails and
LinkedIn,
checking in with fan clubs around the world.
We want professionals checking in.
You know, to see where they are pregame. So
Paul will be drinking.
But if anyone...
Can I do that? Can we incorporate that into the show? No?
But if anyone does have any good ideas, let us know.
You drank on this show.
Email.
I'm the only one who hasn't.
No, that's incorrect. I didn't either.
Well,
you didn't sip a half a beer on this show.
Eric started it. He just didn't finish.
You didn't try that whiskey?
I did not, no, because you came bursting in here, too, and took the whole damn thing. You're drunk.
Yeah, you were paying attention that day.
Well, you needed me that day.
You were elbowing guests out of the way to get to that drink.
Did you have a few over the weekend? Or were you out with the boat and stuff, so you had to kind of be...
No, the boat's not in yet. We're running a little behind. Got to paint the bottom. Got to sand and paint it.
What do you need to paint the bottom?
That's a lot of work.
Sunday and Monday had some couple of impromptu barbecues.
What'd you say?
Had a few.
So why would you paint
had
the
a few Miller Lights.
Did you?
The hole.
Because
the garage refrigerator is now empty.
Oh,
you got a refill? Fish finder on that thing?
No. You got any looks from the missus?
Mm-mm.
That's why ours.
No, we're home.
Dead. Yeah, you were home the last time. You got a look at the miss from the missus.
This is true.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Brad in Maryland's on the phone. Hey, Brad.
Hey guys, how you doing today?
Good.
How was the lacrosse game?
It was a long shot to begin with.
It really wasn't. I think you guys had a good chance.
But, you know, hey, they hung in there. I mean, only losing by two. That's not anywhere near getting blown out. So,
like the Bows.
No.
But, hey, Paul, how'd you do with the game Friday night?
I ended up seeing the last half of the second period and all the third period.
Oh, okay.
So I was home in plenty of time.
I was the opposite. I got to see the first period, and that was it.
Oh, that would have killed me if I had to leave in the middle of the game.
The big news is Andy and I both were awake for the final.
Andy,
yeah.
Andy even saw the whole game.
Whole damn game.
Very good, Andy.
And now he's ripping the Bruins.
No, I'm not ripping them. I was kidding.
Based on his extensive
research. No, I actually
research.
Praised them for playing well defensively and blocking some damn shots like everybody else always does to them.
Exactly.
Claiming Thanks, that Brad. They don't play like that all the time.
They don't. They don't.
You don't see them.
Yes, I do.
Anyway.
All right.
Couple quick things. Andy, I loved your line today about you take cheating to be a bad thing. I don't.
Right.
Kevin, there's a drop-in for Andy anytime.
That could be
his catchphrase.
That's his catchphrase.
I'm with Bobby the Brain Heenan. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
So I like
So you
like
Lance Armstrong.
You know that I think everybody should juice and take steroids.
Brad
yes.
can't get his word.
Just don't be a fraud and pretend you didn't and, oh, I overcame cancer and live strong. By live strong, do you mean take steroids? Why don't you just write take steroids on your little rubber bands yeah. that you fleeced the public out of millions of dollars? Fraud Armstrong.
You really do. You should just base your whole life on like a WWF character. Like even as he's talking, he's got like the arm going. He's looking like, you know, Mean Gene. You little, listen, Mean Gene.
Right. He's got his little Tyrannosaurus Rex arm.
My little Matt Roth arms.
Would his nickname be Andy Stone Cold Heart?
Yeah, and that's the bottom line. Because no, Andy said
there's
so.
A real Stone Cold already out there.
I'd give Eric a stunner. Storm out with a couple beers. Paul can be the guy who throws me the beers that I then bang together and drink.
It's Andy the Head Heart.
One thing I would like you guys to consider for your radio program, especially for those of us that are not local, for the pregame shows, I would love to have a legitimate head to head in each of the not positions, but like
Andy would win every time.
Offensive line versus defensive line.
You got it. They'll do the matchups.
I get so sick of seeing the national media where they'll say, oh, the Patriots offensive line has only given up 2 sacks all year, but we're giving the edge to the Carolina Panthers defensive line. And it's like, you know, come on. There's no legitimacy to that statement whatsoever.
Well, I think in PFW, in the newspaper, we've always, you know, in our matchups, we've always, I think, been pretty fair about, you know, where the matchups lie. You know, we do the depth chart and we create the bubbles where we think where to watch should be, what those key matchups might be. So what they'll do is they'll take that and just bring it to the radio.
Yeah, we could take definitely.
Yeah, because I thought maybe you could also incorporate it into, you know, those people that call in or email in. You could say, what are your 3 key matchups for the game? And see, you know, keep a running thing going and say, hey, you know what? You know, it looks like people are thinking that McCourty versus, you know, whoever is going to be a key matchup, whereas we were thinking it was going to be the run blitz versus, you know, a running back type thing. You know, because that gives a lot more, you know, I might be sitting down here in Maryland saying, you know, Ray Lewis is going to, you know, be all over, you know, Dan Copen, and everybody else is thinking, no, it's going to be a one-way battle running downhill all day long.
Right. Yeah, this show is going to be by the fans, for the fans, with the fans, very interactive. That's what we're looking for.
That's the key word, is interactive.
It might be good to, like, set up in advance 2 fans to go head-to-head on the show where, you know, for, like, a couple minutes, these guys step back and let 2 fans go at it.
Now, does that cut into my time?
Thanks for the call, Brad.
And his pay.
Sounds like it cuts into my airtime. I'm not sure.
Well, it might.
That.
Yeah. But you're now the referee, you know?
I don't do well in that role.
You don't like being a referee?
I'm a participant.
It's a lot of stripes.
Thursday, we were talking about golf.
Structure.
Eric said that he played golf once, doesn't like the sport. You know, and I was kind of telling him, it really is a good sport. You should give it another try. But
and he should, because I think you're just strolling, walking green trees.
I think
green
it's
grass,
everything that Eric seems to enjoy in
nature,
life.
Nature and
all
rolled into
one.
Especially if you're
going
to go into politics.
Birds, tweeting.
You should play golf.
No. Well, I don't like it. Sorry.
Yeah, no future.
I can't be the only. I mean, I know I'm one of the few people, but I just don't have any.
I think you did it so long ago.
You should get
walking,
a fish sandwich,
nature,
and then go golfing.
And
it could change your life.
Yeah. Why don't you like that?
Have you tried golf? Anyway, John, who writes in, agrees with Eric. He says, Eric, you are far from alone. Not a single person I know can stand golf either. The closest we've ever come to anything golf-related is a driving range or mini golf. Watching it on TV is so pointless, I'd rather watch cracks develop in a sidewalk or something. Seriously, don't listen to Fred. Do not give it another try. You will regret it.
Don't worry, I won't.
Yeah, Why would he regret it?
I think people are misunderstanding Fred and I's point. I know a million people who don't like golf.
Really?
I don't know anybody who loves the outdoors and walking as much as you do, and recreation in general, that doesn't like golf.
You got something white on
there's
your
a,
lip.
There's a difference there.
Because you have to keep score. He's not a competitive person.
That's another...
That's not entirely accurate.
That's another check in golf's side, because you don't have to.
Oh, compared to the people on this show, no, I'm not. But I'm
a little psychotic when it comes to that.
I keep scoring every day.
I keep scoring life, and I'm getting my ass kicked.
And I should stop. Anyway, 508-298.
Do you golf, Fred?
I used to golf a lot.
Really?
Not anymore. I haven't golfed in 5 years.
Would that be another sport you would beat Andy in?
Oh.
In the list of sports you've already beaten him in, which is what?
Blindfolded.
You probably would. I'm not very good.
No.
I just enjoy having fun. Golf is actually one of the sports where I'm not all that
good. Right up to the point where he's flexing his triceps.
That's you who likes to flex his triceps.
And then the ball goes, you know, 90 degrees to the right.
Oh, it happens.
Yeah.
It happens.
I won the PFW Open, if you do recall.
Who was in it?
Yeah. Oh, back in the day, we used to play golf every year.
I know. You guys didn't work a lot back in the day. All I hear about is that place down the street where there were foosball tables and wiffle ball, and we were dunking, and we were having this and that.
That Walpole Park South.
Yes.
Greatest place ever.
That was the heyday of PFW.
Wasn't the work day.
The halcyon days, Freddie.
Right. No, but we used to do
good word.
We used to do the PFW out because Jason Ricker, who was our circulation, he
talk
loved
about
golf.
Not doing anything.
Yeah, he loved golf.
Carol,
is that a requirement for the job?
Oh no, make Carol look like nose of the
really.
Backstone.
So we would get a bunch of other departments too, and some third people that we work with outside, and we get like 30-40 people.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was good. Now your group one or you?
Oh
won?
No, individual.
Yeah.
I won.
What was your score?
Oh,
no.
I don't remember.
Come on. You must remember.
You were in the 80s. You had to be,
right? Did you have to ask me if I cheat? Really? Is that what you said?
I think you did.
This is not Boston University.
Well, why do you do that?
This is not school. This is not something insignificant. This
and
golf.
As we know, Andy.
There's no honor in cheating in
you
golf.
You take cheating to be a
if
bad
not cheating,
thing.
You're not trying. Right.
Well,
right.
I do. I think cheating in golf, particularly
it's
if
a fine line between cheating
particularly
and savvy.
If you're actually playing
right, if you win, you're savvy.
If you're playing for any kind of competition, that's that's I have no respect for that. Cheating in school, like me, that's different.
It's the same thing.
But it was only myself. No, sir.
It's a different arena.
You're
competing for grades.
Getting into colleges.
It's a competition.
You start to cheat, you've chosen not to compete.
Well, yeah, I wasn't competing.
Once
with
you start to cheat, you've chosen not to compete.
Is that your catchphrase?
I'm not competing anymore. I'm just going to cheat. That's not competing.
Does that mean Brady was cheating a couple years ago when he decided not to compete for the parking spot?
Got to raise your compete level.
He did not compete for the parking spot.
Does that mean he was cheating?
What? If A equals B, B does not equal A.
He wasn't trying for it. Yeah,
I probably would have learned that if I didn't cheat in math in college. No. Seriously. If you're playing golf or any kind of
I don't compete
friendly thing.
Golf.
I don't usually either. But if
I'm
you
out
play,
there to have fun.
Did you ever play in a tournament?
Hit the ball high.
You ever play in one of those scramble tournaments
what
or something?
Do for charity?
And you cheat?
No. I'm saying playing golf. Like you say, you don't play golf because you don't have.
No. I'm talking about cheating.
Oh, okay.
I love golf. I just don't get to play that much anymore. But when I do play, it's almost always a tournament now, and you'll be in a scramble, and you're always. Everybody stinks at those tournaments.
Right.
I mean, there's one or two really good players, but you go out and play. No one cares if your group wins. You're just going out. It's usually a good cause. It's a good day. But you're always behind a group that just they suck. You know, like two balls in the woods on the left, two balls in the woods on the right. And then I always laugh when you go in and you're like, that group, 5 under. You're like, what?
Yeah.
I didn't see them on the green all day. Yeah. And you know that they were cheating.
Yeah, golf is golf is a bad game for that.
Oh, because there's no one watching.
Yeah, it's easy to cheat. And the other way, it's not technically cheating, but it is when you're playing in tournaments that involve handicaps, and you have these guys they call
sandbaggers. Oh, they cheat the other way.
The sandbaggers who.
Yeah. Oh, I'm an 11.
I'm not that good. But
I'm an 11 to go out and shoot a 74.
Right.
You know, I mean, come on. Who are you? How fun is that?
You know.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
So, but golf is.
But yeah, I would definitely have shot in the 80s.
Yeah. Gino Cappelletti accused Brian Morey of cheating at golf.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I remember that.
Well, did Brian
classic.
Try to fight him?
Almost.
No, Brian told him to go F himself.
I could see Brian cheating.
They laugh. That's what he did.
I know.
No, I believe it.
Living legend.
Yeah. I believe it. That's why I'm
laughing. Living legend, and Brian talked to him so disrespectfully.
He's a douche.
Wow.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Ann in Colorado Springs is on the line. Hey, Ann.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Yes.
We're doing great.
How are you?
Good, very good. Couple of things I wanted to run by you. When the schedule came out, the game in Denver, as you know, is December 19th.
It's going to be a snowy one.
I know. But, you know, I'll tell you, it couldn't be any colder than it was in the October game when we went down to 17. So I don't expect it to be as cold as it was that freak October day. But anyway, I had 184 people sign up for tickets, and then the schedule came out, and now I only have 48 people that can come because no one from Colorado is from Colorado. They're from everywhere else. So people are going home, and it's like some people were going to have family come in, but they can't come in because it's right at Christmas time. And
right.
So I just thought I would have you guys maybe announce that if anybody is interested, I am going to be buying tickets this week. If anyone is interested out there that wants to come, they can hop on my list and get a ticket.
So how do they get in touch with you?
When you go on the Pats.com site and go to fan clubs,
yep.
We're the only fan club in Colorado. So when you click on it, you click right to my email.
Okay, so
nice.
Just so if a fan has never done that, we launched the new Patriots.com. So if you know you haven't been to the new site yet, go into the fan zone section on Patriots.com, and you'll see the thing that says fan club registry. Go in and find the Colorado fan club, Ann's fan club. And
yeah, as soon as you click on it, a map of the United States pops up.
Right. And you can click on Colorado. And you'll find Ann. And you can tell her you're interested in a couple ducats to the game in Denver.
Ducats.
Yep.
Okay, that's great. Ann, thanks for letting us know that.
Okay, two other quick things.
Okay.
Did you guys know that Ben Jarvis was out here in Colorado Springs?
I heard he took an airplane ride.
Yes, an F-16,
yeah.
Right?
An airplane.
And you know what? We didn't
it was
even
a 747,
know
I think.
He went on a fighter jet, is what
yes.
he
yes.
did.
Yes, yes. Like an F-16 yes. or something like
we're
that.
We're making
it
fun of Fred.
The, every year when the Air Force Academy graduates, of course, they have the show over the stadium. And I don't know who, it didn't say in the article who Ben Jarvis knew that he was able to go for a ride along, because, you know, that's like cat's teeth. You just never can find it. But anyway, I have a sort of, not a complaint, but just sort of like, if we had known he was in town, we could have pulled a party together in a heartbeat and just had him come and meet a bunch of people. Is there any way that you guys could, like, let fan clubs know in advance or something? Or was that just something that came up and he just flew out and went home the same day?
Yeah, that has the Patriots team had nothing to do with that. I don't know how he got involved with it.
That's something that's
individual. It popped up on our radar, no pun intended, last week as well. You know, we just heard that he was doing it. So, you know, I don't know how that came about. Does he have, like, family in the military, Ben Jarvis?
I don't know.
You have to have a pretty big contact.
Yeah, I would imagine you do. So he must have had something going on. But
it might have been something through his agency.
Yeah,
you know,
it didn't
knows?
Come through here, though.
But that would be wicked cool if you could, you know, especially in the whole state of Colorado, there's only us. We would have just boom, boom, boom. I could have sent out an email. I could have had 100, 200 people meet somewhere and get to meet them. It would have been wicked cool.
Well, we'll keep that in mind, and not just for your club, but for all the other clubs around.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you know, you go to a state where there aren't that many clubs. I mean, if all of a sudden someone, I mean, I don't know why, but if you went to Nebraska for something, you know, there might be only one or two clubs there. You know what I mean?
Right. So, okay.
But anyhow, so that's just a thought I wanted to just drop in your ear.
Yep. Okay, Ann.
Okay, wait a minute. One more thing.
Oh, one more. Okay.
She's not done.
Fred, don't try to run her off the phone.
All right.
Let her do her business.
All right.
Just a sort of thing I've been wondering, because I really don't see anything written or talked about at all. Is there an actual date that everything has to be settled by? Because different people say, oh, they can, you know, sign and start things going in, you know, by September 1st. Well, isn't there going to be some date where we have to settle everything by X date because we have to allow 3 weeks of training? Because you're certainly not going to make it, you know, December 5th and then have everybody play a game, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
There's no conditioning. There's no, you know.
You're right, Ann. There has been no date set, and people.
But there is a date, though.
Yeah, different people have said different things. Jim Irsay lately said that
July 1st.
July 1st is the date you have to have things by and not miss any preseason games.
Right. Yeah.
So, but that's just him saying. I haven't heard any official anything about
right,
dates. But
it
just.
And Goodell was asked about this in that press conference last week to close out the spring meetings, and he said no, there is no date that we have right now. But he did acknowledge that there would be, you know, a certain time frame that would need to be taken into consideration. So No, there's no official date, but yes, I'm sure that the NFL has a date in mind that they're just not making public right
according
now.
According to the NFL, the first official thing that they had scheduled that they've canceled was the rookie symposium.
Correct.
It was supposed to happen in June, and they canceled that. So that's the first thing on their schedule that they've canceled, and obviously the longer we go, things will start to fall. But, you know, as we know, we'd be getting ready right now for a mandatory minicamp the first or second week of June.
Yeah, that's this issue that we're going to be doing. Our next PFW is generally a minicamp wrap. So,
That doesn't look good.
No, well, that's out.
Yeah. So
it does not look good.
So according to us, they're already missing things. So we'll see.
Yeah. Because basically, if they're saying July 1st and our first preseason game is August 11th, so they're basically saying you need 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Is there a chance that they would, if, say, something didn't come up till end of July, beginning of August, and they'd skip the preseason?
They might. Well, I don't know if they'd skip the preseason, but they'd have an abbreviated preseason, and they might miss a game or two, a regular season game. You know,
Well, if push came to shove, I think they would give up a preseason game in order to get all the regular season games in.
No, but, like, let's say they were up against September 1st. You know, you need then, some training.
Yeah, you're right. But they might just go for scrimmages.
It's all up in the air.
Yeah, it's all up in the air.
It's a fluid situation.
But, Ann, while you're on the phone, somebody already emailed. Josh wants to know, what are the specifics on the tickets and what are the prices and location? Do you know?
Okay, yeah. They're $250, which we cannot buy any cheaper because they do not sell group tickets at all, right? As far as I know right now, we're the only group that they've sold tickets to. They don't have any trouble getting rid of them, so they're not going to give us $75 tickets. They're going to give us the $250 tickets.
But that must be pretty good. Oh, club level. Good, yeah.
Yeah, they're club level. So even if it's cold, when you go in, because, of course, they have great food venues in there, and there's like a million TVs. You don't miss a bit of the game even if you go in to buy your food.
Okay.
It's a couple of stuff. You have a separate entrance. You can go in 2 hours before the game. I mean, so there's a few little perks that go along with having the club level, but it is $250. It's pretty steep, you know?
Okay, steep, but at least it's club level. So that's good to know, and we'll get that word out for you. Thanks, Ann.
Great. Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Thank you, Ann.
Ann from the Pikes Peak Patriots fan club.
Well, of course it's steep. It's Pikes Peak.
Right.
See what you did there. So, I like Ann.
Yeah,
she had an Andy Hartism early in that call. Did you pick it? No one from Colorado lives in Colorado.
Right.
She also had
what they say about
finding cat's teeth or something.
Oh yeah, I just thought that was one of those phrases that I'd never heard of.
It was harder to find than a cat's teeth.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Although I've never seen a cat tooth, I don't think.
What?
I've seen plenty of teeth in cat's mouths.
No, but I mean like not in its
just
mouth.
Just got to know where
like
to look.
Finding a cat's tooth.
Oh, I guess if it was out of its mouth,
yeah,
it'd be hard to
meant.
Find because they're small. No, get it.
Never found many animals. I mean, you don't generally just find teeth lying around, except under your pillow.
He deals in facts.
I deal in facts.
Right.
He thinks. Darius writes in, "What's up, guys? Hope you had a great weekend. Having said that, I do not like the new webpage.
I do not like the new webpage.
Prior to the change, I would not listen to you guys while I peruse the rest of the website. Now, if I tune into you guys and then try to read Patriots.com News Blitz, the site drops the radio stream.
That's terrible.
I have to stay on the Patriots.com radio page in order to keep the stream. And I'm with you. I like to hit. Okay, so first of all, that. Yeah, I agree with him. You know, the player that the NFL uses is subpar. Obviously, the way to do that is just open up a new browser, keep that one open, and do what you want. But, yeah.
Why do we make things difficult on our customers?
I'm just trying to explain.
I feel your pain, guys. I do.
Took a swan dive off the Mystic River Bridge 3 hours ago.
In a dream.
I'm not the most tech savvy person. I'm probably definitely the least in this room. Make it as easy as possible for everybody.
It's
number
harder.
It's number one on our wish list to the NFL is to get a better video/audio player. It's
certainly not the only thing, though.
Yeah. But don't worry, if we get a safety this year, the NFL will be right on top of it immediately.
Andy, I'm with you. I like the hits just as long as they are not to the head. That's why they wear equipment. What's next? The player will have to ask permission to enter into a player's personal space just to tackle them?
That seems to be what's next.
Also, consider the rule that says the defender cannot hit the receiver while attempting to catch the ball. So this means that defenders will have to wait for the receiver to catch or drop the ball before the, well, yeah, that's pass interference if they don't, if they do that.
No, but the way they're making it sound is if you hit a guy and it's bang, bang, you're either getting pass interference or unnecessary roughness or whatever the penalty is. Like you have to wait.
Well, but if you're,
God forbid,
if you're going for the football too.
Yeah, maybe.
Trying to make the interception.
But you can hit a guy legally.
I'm not sure you can. I think you're going to see a lot of
too many.
Remember, the in the grasp when they called everybody and their brother in the grasp? I think you're going to see that this year with some of these calls.
I think when you stepped out of the room earlier when you were looking for, you know, your utensils to get your cookies, you know, out of the box.
They're awful soft today. Very good, though. Have you had a cookie?
I made the comment. I think that more often than not, any incomplete pass over the middle that's the receiver has a chance for it, I think more often than not, you're going to see a flag.
Probably.
Because
it's going to be a miserable season.
When the ball deflects off a guy's hands and then he gets hit, I think more often than not, that's going to be a penalty.
So you'll have 10 games of crappy football with bad penalties. Should be a great fall.
Scott wants to know, Andy, as far as your concept of cheating.
NFL.
Is plagiarizing other people's writing cheating?
Yeah, that's cheating.
But if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
But you don't consider that a bad
thing. And it's only cheating if you get caught, too.
I think he was talking specifically about, you know, gaining tactical
but
edges
okay.
and whatnot.
This is what we do on this show. We just kind of run with things, so I'm okay with it. Eric's not really named Chaz, but we're going to run with it for as long as
No, you're going to.
Me? Just me? Or thousands upon thousands of listeners?
Two or three of them.
And I guess Greg from the billing department has sent pictures of his girlfriend.
Nice.
Oh,
let me see her teeth.
Oh, finally.
But he says only for our eyes and not for anyone else's eyes.
Is it open over there? Should I come over?
Put it up on the
don't
site?
Come over here. Stay away from
me. Well, when am I going to see it?
Stay away from me. That just killed me.
He pays attention for once in a show.
I love when he cackles from the other room, though. That's a
so
and
creepy.
You can hear it through the glass.
No,
like,
stay away from
me. Pictures of this guy's girlfriend.
Stay away from me.
So how am I going to see it? I don't get these emails.
After the show. Sean from New Hampshire.
Okay.
Sure.
Eric gets it.
Says, I have come up with an idea for solving our pass rush problem, given the lack of...
Get a pass rusher.
SB talent, defensive talent we have.
Super Bowl?
I don't know what that means.
Snot block?
Starting backer? I don't know. Strong backer? I don't. Anyway, SB defensive talent. Line up on passing downs with a two-man front of Warren or Stroud and Wilfork. Have Chung or Razai Dowling stunt blitz or both all-out blitz and follow like Rodney Harrison used to do and Troy Polamalu does now with pressure off the edge on one side wherever Tully Bannacane is. Tully Bannacane will take up the initial blocker and they will face the backfield blocker while rushing Cunningham on the other side. If he can beat his man, then one of them will be free to chase with Diedrich as the elephant up the middle to clog up remaining O-line blockers. Okay. Well,
I'm going to need this drawn
up. It goes
for
on
me.
And on and on and on.
I like the earlier solution. Get a pass rusher.
Yeah, you could do that once, I guess, but, you know. All right.
I was
What's the matter, Andy?
What's that noise?
It's just a truck.
Suddenly
outside.
The show is on a remote on a freeway.
Yeah. Yeah,
I feel like something's just going to burst through this wall.
So, there's a lot of different things you can do to create a rush, but we're talking consistent rush at key times in the game.
And anytime you scheme it, you're leaving yourself open to get beat badly.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't really pick up on the whole scheme. It was hard to listen and understand visually. But anytime you're scheming to get your pass rush, you're weak somewhere else.
Scheming in general. It's easier. Listen, I understand that they don't have the same personnel, and you have to do scheming. But when they won Super Bowls, it wasn't all because of schemes. Now, there was scheming involved, but talent, they were able to win one-on-one battles in a lot of different places that they're not really able to do that anymore. You know, they had some great talent on defense, you know, in those three Super Bowl defenses.
Yep.
So it wasn't all about – now they
smart guys, too.
Yeah, and then you have that ability with Belichick's mind to dial up different situations and, you know – use that, you know, no defensive lineman look and have these safety blitzes and do some of these different things with that level of talent. And now you have a dominant defensive unit that, you know, is allowing, 13, 14 points a game. That's the formula.
Mikey writes in, what's up, guys? We have been having a bit of a debate on the fullback, on the Facebook page. I'm like, on the fullback page. Where would you rank Brandon Merriweather on our team's crop of safeties? And also, how does he rank league-wide among all the safeties? Also, in a year with the lockout, would it be wise to trade him? Thanks, and don't forget to chime in on Facebook more often.
Yeah, Paul's handling our Facebook presence.
Well, all I do is take shots at you, I got to be honest.
These guys think he's the fourth best.
It's pretty funny.
Probably
your shots are
pretty
Chung,
good,
Paul. Sanders, Page.
Yeah, see, I would put him third behind Chung and Sanders.
I'd
right,
put
right
him
now,
behind Page.
Now he,
I'd
that,
put him
that could change.
Fourth.
As Andy likes to say, it's fluid.
I'd put him behind Page.
I haven't seen
I'm
enough
intrigued
out,
by Page.
I haven't
I'm
seen
intrigued
enough
by
out,
his
out
MMA.
Page.
Yes. He's going to kick some ace and take names mm-hmm. this year.
What?
Because he's training MMA?
Worked for Clay Matthews.
Okay.
Other things work
he
for Clay Matthews,
He went from a three-sack guy at USC for his entire career to a 23-sack guy in the NFL.
I don't think it had much
it's
to do
gotta
with
It's
got to
be MMA. The MMA. Nothing else changed, right?
Okay.
Jared oh, Page, big year.
Being facetious over there.
No, I'm not. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
John from Pennsylvania says about golf, we all know the thing that spoils a great walk is golfing.
Yes,
that is correct.
Mark
for
Twain
all,
said that.
For all you people that take it too seriously, if you're just out there to hit the ball, have a little fun, hang out with three other guys,
drinking
have a couple
beer.
Beers.
Have you ever thrown a club?
No.
I have. It's liberating.
I don't take it that seriously.
I can't tell you how I decompress
especially
after
when
that.
You wrap one around a tree.
Oh, I've gotten more than one stuck in a tree. But
it's a good time.
That the rest of my round from that point on is always the most
to
fun
me,
I've ever had.
Time.
Once
just,
I do
you
it,
just try not
yeah,
to do it
it's
with
just
the putter.
Not one that I particularly
oh, I don't do
enjoy.
I don't
not
do
Tiger
it.
Woods. I'm not a douche on the course.
I still to
has nothing
day.
To do with being a douche. You don't have to yell at anybody else.
I'm not a douche,
I've
and I've never thrown a club.
Of course.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
But have you ever been involved in one?
No.
I've never been involved.
I came close though.
Among the people in the foursome or between foursomes?
The party in front of us. Well. The guy in front of us got into a fight with the guy in front of him.
Oh.
I had a
problem. Are we playing through, probably?
No, nah, yeah, he hit into him.
Probably playing too slow.
It was,
yeah.
It was like something that was developing. He had been yelling at him to play faster and then finally hit one into
hit
him and
him,
then it, they just got into
I
a fight.
Have been in a group where a guy in my group hit a ball back at a guy.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah?
Wow.
Because
<Yeah.
laughs> they were hitting into our group a lot, and my cousin actually just bang, just.
Now, did the woman get mad?
Hit a five iron back up to the tee box. It's very funny.
Yeah.
Very funny.
I had one, Paul, where we had a group in front of us playing a course you've never played before, and, you know, it goes down a hill, so you can't see where the other group is.
And then you hit on
there
top
was no
ball.
Bell or anything like that, so I get up to the tee, and I hit the ball.
I know it wasn't your fault.
No, I come down, and my ball, I'm looking all over the place for it, and I hit it, like, right down the middle, so I was like, what the heck?
Of course you did.
No, and I see a huge, like, boulder in the middle, like, a huge rock in the middle of the fairway, and I look up, my ball's under it.
Nice.
Like, crushed into the ground. So I had to go up, and my cousin...
You want to have your ball in between a rock and a hard place. Then.
My cousin had to separate me from the guy who did it, because I went right up after.
Nothing wrong with golf, it's the people that golf. It's just like anything else. It's those... Jerks at the blackjack table that think they own the
yeah,
table.
Sure.
The jerks that think they own the course. People ruin everything. Just go out there and have
right,
fun.
Well, that was
you're
my,
not Tiger
that
Woods.
Was my card
you're
you
never going to be Tiger Woods. You're never going to make your money off golf. So
no,
just have fun.
Douches. Okay.
It's the same mentality. It's the same people.
Yeah.
They think they're going to win the World Series of Poker.
But I don't
no,
get...
you wouldn't be sitting at Mohegan Sun with your $5
hey,
sunglasses and on your last dime if you were going to be
don't
that
you,
good.
Don't you talk bad about Pete Sheppard.
But I think you can.
I don't see that the Tiger Woods correlation.
When you are golfing,
he
though,
actually has something on the line. He has millions upon billions of dollars.
No, but,
you jackasses
but,
need to go back to
first
work
of all,
tomorrow.
I just told you I've never gotten into any kind of fight on.
But you've
golf
thrown
course,
clubs. Because why did you throw
that's,
clubs?
That's just me. Because I'm upset with myself for being an idiot. That's all.
Throwing your club proves you're an idiot.
That's all. It's not like I'm losing my chance to get my card and go on the tour. That's why I don't get the Tiger Woods thing. It's not about...
It's competitive.
You know,
and,
I'm mad because someone talked in the middle of my backswing.
Well, if
like
you
Tiger
would,
Woods.
I would say...
I talk in the middle of my own swing.
You would.
You think... You think
that guy believes. That I actually believe. Actually believe.
You think that I actually
that
stopped
I actually
talking
believe
on the golf course? Please.
Breaking down Jacoby Ellsbury mid-swing.
I am the least serious guy ever when it comes to that stuff.
So then how can you throw a golf club? How can you be that
upset? Because it makes me feel better. That's how I play.
So it's like beating a guy till he stops breathing. Oh. It's that same.
What an idiot. What an absolute idiot. Give me some more Coke.
Nah. A cola.
It's Pepsi.
There are
all I can tell you is if my brother wasn't
Charlie
here,
Sheen
I'd
just
still
joined the show.
Okay, and he just swore.
There are things on the golf course that other people can do that can annoy you.
Like?
You know, well, like you know,
the slow play and hitting into people would annoy me. Yes,
yeah.
But it's not about like you're ruining my round. Like I was going to shoot a 74.
Right.
Now I'm only going to shoot a 78.
And especially the guys in this one fight that I did witness. This was on a very, very public Leo J. Martin golf course. I mean, if you're going to go play golf with Leo J. Martin, you got to expect
public.
A 5-hour round. I mean, because it's like, you know, the amateurs of amateur go there.
Plus,
so
it's a pretty long course.
Too. It is. And so, you know, if the slow play in front of you, you can't expect anything but. Now, some of these private courses, I can see people saying, hey, you know, could you speak or let us play through? Mm. You ask politely.
Mm-hmm.
Can we play through?
Yeah.
And then,
do you ever have anybody say no?
No, but I've never asked.
How does that work, though, if somebody's already on a green?
If they get to a par three, usually what would happen, and I've done this many times because I'll be, you know, we're not overly competitive when we play most of the time. If you get on a par three and you know you're keeping the group behind you, you're holding them up, you see them waiting every shot, you'll hit the ball to a green, and then you go down, and then you'll wave them on. And you'll say, go ahead, you guys hit.
Oh, okay.
Then you let them putt and go, and then you go behind them. And they're usually faster than you, so it takes a hole, and all of a sudden they're out in front of you when you can just play, and you're not holding somebody up. That's how it should work. You shouldn't have to ask to play through. Someone should allow
someone
you to play.
Someone should just
through.
Notice that there's a log jam. And
Now,
here's where I agree with Andy.
Most idiots don't know.
Here's where I agree with Andy.
He's one of those idiots that ruins golf, by the way. I can tell by the way he talks.
Yeah. The whole etiquette thing would annoy me. If I played golf all the time.
Right.
See, when I played golf regularly, it was always in the middle of the week during the day because I worked at night. So I didn't have to deal with the people that he probably wanted to wrap clubs around their throat. Because there's not really that many people out playing on a Tuesday afternoon at 10, you know, at noon. And you can usually have the run of the course.
So.
But if you go and try to play on a Saturday or Sunday now, your 5-hour round is in play.
Right.
Any round with me is potential to go 5 hours.
See, but I think that's fun. As long as everybody, you know.
I played a 6-hour round at Leo J. Martin once. Leo J. Martin is.
I'd run out of gas.
Is like the most public course around this area.
What about
you know,
Massachusetts.
What is this whole the most public?
Well, very, very
it's either public.
Public
or private.
No, but I mean.
Do they have prostitutes and that makes it very public?
I mean, strippers some on the ice.
And never
flag.
The two shall meet.
Some of the holes are very nice. Some of them are are just dirt in the fairway.
Boulders
you know, it's
in
just,
the bunkers.
You know, like when you're learning how to play golf, you go to Leo J. Martin. You know. And I've seen some pretty weird sights at that.
Sex?
Naked?
No.
Naked?
Oral? Well, you got to clarify. Thanks
to
Bill
Clinton,
you have to clarify.
In terms of
but you ever hear
golf.
Some of those stories that they have, like on these celebrity golf tournaments when they have...
They actually have sex?
Prostitution. Absolutely. They have, like, these girls set up at, like, the beverage carts
at
holes.
Yeah.
And they take care of you.
I like the
you know,
third
if you know,
hole.
You know what I mean by that?
Wrong hole, fool.
Sure. You know, you make the turn.
Where do the what courses are these?
Oh, I don't know. I assume they're like
country clubs.
Well, a lot of bachelor parties set them up too.
It's in the hole.
You know,
talk about losing a ball.
I've never been in any of those.
We should probably read an email.
Strippers writes in. Yeah. He tells us that Green Ellis said that he joined them the Air Force or whatever 2 days before they emailed him with the opportunity. He said, quote, I knew it was a once in a lifetime experience. So somehow they got in touch with him, but there still had to be some connection.
Yeah, there's got to be something else there.
I'm sure
the
and my dad's president.
Let's go down the list of 1,000 yard rushers. All right, we missed Green Ellis.
They got to the bottom and they took him.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this.
Whoa,
edition.
No.
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
Are you
kidding
me?
Whoa.
Wait a minute.
No, we got 2 minutes left.
I have 2 o'clock. I'm like,
it's 1:58. According to the BlackBerry.
All right, so say something.
Oh.
Okay.
You have emails.
Give us your opening joke from your stand-up. Paul needs it. He's scared. Go.
I did that a couple of years ago. You'll have to download that podcast.
You are the least fun person on the planet. Least fun.
No,
what am I scared about?
No, not you, Paul. No, Paul
it's not all
lying.
About you, Paul.
You're not the only Paul in the world.
It's always about him.
No, we've already established Eric's best jokes came when his microphone was off.
Yes. And they were just laughing at him, not with him.
Right. That was his best night ever. All right. Thanks for listening
Andy's
today.
Andy's a douche. Thank you.
We'll be back Thursday with another edition of PFW
like
in Progress. We'll keep the flame burning.
And the Big Bang Clock. We'll be right back.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to PFWOnline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.